Okay. What? All right. I think we're live. Let me see. Let's check on the phone. What up, Martin? How you doing, man? We are live. Awesome. What up, Brandon? How you doing, man? What are you guys up to? I'm gonna wait for some people to filter in, and then I kind of wanted to touch on some of the new interest around the Wilson Davis document and the fat rodents. Chaco, Martin, what's up? Hey guys. So yeah, we'll just wait for a couple people to filter in. We'll talk about the new Wilson Davis revelations because I also really want to touch on what Eric Davis said, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard of that. And then the Ross Coulthart AMA, I found it pretty interesting. Yeah, I kind of want to review two possible sources of that 2004 JSOC on program action. What's up, Birdie? I don't know if I've seen you in lives before, so what's going on? While we're gearing up, I do want to talk about if everybody can just keep Mr. Ryan Wood in their minds. As you guys probably learned about 2 days ago, Dr. Robert Wood has passed on. I know recently he suffered some sort of medical complications, and I know talking with Ryan, I don't, I think his father's passing came as somewhat of a surprise. So if you can keep him in your mind, and if you guys can let me know if you've watched Dr. Robert Wood's video on the DPI, or not the DPI archive, but in Stephen Greer's 2001 kind of video set. It's you can find it on seriousdisclosure.com. I highly recommend watching that, as kind of Ryan touched on in the video. As a McDonnell Douglas aircraft rocket scientist, actually, this man was incredibly accomplished. He kind of talked to his superiors, when are we going to figure out gravity manipulation technology before Lockheed Martin does? And he was given a task, met up with Stanton Friedman, but was basically denied access. So he was a big friend of Stanton Friedman. Let's go through some of these questions and so forth. Birdie, yes, almost 10K. Hope so soon, man. That'd be awesome. I can't believe this. I started this channel out. Maybe we'll talk about the origins of the channel a little bit. This is actually quite funny. Let me go through this. Will O'Malley retain? Yes, he's going to knock Marab out in the early rounds. And then if Taporio beats, I don't even want to hear it. This man still should be champ. If Taporio beats Holloway, which I don't think he will, I'd like to see O'Malley knock out Taporio. What's up, Quitter? Birdie? Yes, sir. Hey, and Cody, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. But what's the most compelling evidence? Yeah, let's talk about that too, real fast about Mr. Robert Wood. Ryan, actually, when he and I met, because before we did our video online, he and I actually had met up in person because he lives quite close to me in Colorado, shared a coffee, talked for like 3.5 hours. I'm so gracious for his time. He has a lot of interest in kind of the gravity manipulation research that Ross Coulthart has talked about stemming from the 50s and so on. So I hope to have Ryan back on about that sort of project. There's a really good article, and I believe the Drive, about the 50s gravity manipulation studies. So I'll also link that. But what's the most compelling piece of evidence the MJ-12 docs are real? I might say the surrounding the Eisenhower briefing document, the Truman Forrestal memo, the Cutler Twining memo, and Nathan Twining's White Hot report. I think those are very interesting. There's so much good information around the Eisenhower briefing document. I want to return to the Majestic 12 as well soon. I know you guys are familiar with Grant Cameron. We'll talk about him in a little bit as we discuss the Wilson Davis memo. In his files with UFO researcher Bill Moore, I've actually found some new Majestic documents I've never seen before, dated to the 80s. So maybe in a little bit, when I share my screen and we go through some stuff, we'll throw that up too, because this specific Majestic documents talks about EBE. So, you know, I don't know if you guys back earlier this year, Grant Cameron released his files. I highly recommend going through those. Maybe I can link them, including a big file set on the current project I'm working at, hoping to get out this week. We do have the, you know what? Now that you mentioned that, of course, we have Ben Rich, but now we have Dr. Jim Ryder, as mentioned in Imminent and Lou Elizondo. So, Dr. Jim Ryder, I've actually been kind of looking into him a little bit behind the scenes with a couple of my friends. He was in the Lockheed Martin Advanced Technology Center or Division, ATC, Advanced Technology Center. On Lockheed's media stories, there are only ever two. There have only ever been two documents surrounding Dr. Jim Ryder. One of which was a press release on some carbon nanotube material, and another one was on. Sorry, I'm trying to remember. Lockheed Martin Advanced Technology Center and a deal with DARPA to make a more substantial satellite network. I know, Birdie, you've been here since day one, man. I remember the first video I ever put out had the Wilson Davis video. We had I was counting up the views on that every time. I'd see one extra view and I'd get so happy. I am so sick of all these guys with the shady behind the scenes stories. We need a hearing, subpoena all these characters like Davis and put off, make them testify, settle these rumors once and for all. I agree with that in terms of Eric Davis. He seems to be very selective when he likes to weigh in about the phenomenon and so forth. Eric Davis will stay quiet for a very extended period of time and then just come online to say that Lou Elizondo is phooey and something like that. I'd like to hear more about him. And as we'll talk about in a little bit, it's interesting to hear him comment on the Wilson Davis memo. But, you know, even in this comment, there's some stuff that, you know, at least talking to James Rigney, the man who kind of brought the memo to Grant Cameron, is a little inaccurate. So I would like to see Eric Davis subpoenaed. Jimmy Hsu, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. How do you think the Lockheed team killed the JSOC guys? Training or exotic equipment? Well, we will dive into that in just a little bit because, as you know, I think a lot of this is getting connected with John Stewart and his supposed 2023. I think it was December 2023, but I have the files up. We'll go through it on the screen. We'll actually go through the whole exchange that John Stewart posted. But remember this. Remember Michael Herrera's insider submitted a document that was supposed to be a play on Dopser, similar to Secret Machines by Tom DeLonge. This manuscript called Sentinels of Ether covers a blue-on-blue black program team killing JSOC members in 2004 in none other than Coyame, Mexico, with conventional weaponry. So we'll talk about that. So there was an experimental in the submarine in the 50s or 60s that used magnetic fields to operate and wasn't a classified project. I haven't heard of that. T. Hammer, if you have a link, I would really, really like to go into that. Oh, you like that, pal? I know you like that. My lady got that for me. It's signed by Volk and everything. So that was a true treat to get. And this is going to be the centerpiece. I have a couple of other things to hang up. Joey made me a custom printed logo. I need to get that up. I have another Bob reactor drawing. And of course, I have the framed Michael drawing I got to get up. Michael Herrera's when he drew the ARV. So I need to get that up. Will you ever do a video? Yeah, absolutely. I read the 4chan whistleblower a lot. Any of you guys who aren't familiar with that, the crux of his argument or testimony is that deep underwater, there is a basically purpose-built UAP production craft, hamburger-shaped, I believe it is. It's enormous. And apparently this builds UAP to spec. And part of the reason that UAPs crash, according to this man's testimony, is this custom specking machine doesn't really care what happens to the craft. So yeah, I actually really want to go through that line by line by line, because there's so much interesting stuff there. Everything from talking about orbs and how he says the underlying structure behind these orbs people see is almost like a hammer shape, right? If you've read that, to the underground bases, to he touches on implants. And of course, implants are kind of the big ticket item now with Lou commenting on them. And speaking of Lou, what are you guys thinking of Imminent? I still haven't read it yet, if I'm being honest. I got a lot of other projects I'm working on. I do hope to talk to Lou soon. So if that's the case, you guys, my community, let's bump heads and let's figure out how to talk to him different than all of these, from his Joe Rogan appearance to all of his other appearances, just talking about Imminent and kind of the ATIP OSAP stuff. I would like to dig into the origins of that a little bit more if I talk to him. And I would also like to talk more about crash retrievals and so forth. Of course, in Imminent, he talks about the December 1950 crash retrieval near El Indio Guerrera near Del Rio, Texas. Those of you will know that that is only mentioned in the Eisenhower briefing document. So that could be a huge validating piece of the Majestic documents to find out a little bit more about that case. Let's go. Signed by Volk? Yes, it is. And bought by your lady? Yes, it is. We are a Volkanovsky household. She knows that whenever it's time for Volk to fight, that I'll need complete silence, because if he loses, which he hasn't, because anytime he's lost, it's been CGI, I'll have a mental breakdown. So Snapple, how did I not find your channel before? Insanely good. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. We're still early, man. We're still just starting up. I think first video was in mid to late January, and that was on the Wilson Davis memo, which is very timely. If you've watched that video, I think I was extremely ill when I made it, had a nasty cold, and was working on a like $10 Amazon mic. So it sounds horrendous. I don't think there's any music or real production value. I don't think I showed my face in that. So, you know, maybe at a year we'll revisit that topic and get a bigger type of analysis on the Wilson Davis. Need to dive more into Lou's relationship with Bigelow. Yes. And Bigelow's plan to receive materials given from Lockheed Martin as highlighted in Kona Blue. So I think that's a great one. If any of you guys have questions, so I'm not saying anything set in stone, but if I get to talk to Lou, if you guys have questions that branch out a little bit from his regular media appearances, let me know and I'll kind of factor that in. Again, if you weren't here yet, I do plan to talk more about crash retrievals. I sent you a Gmail. Are you possibly? Yeah, I'm super behind on my emails. I'm sorry, guys. I have so many to go through and I try to respond to each one very thoughtfully. So if I haven't read your email yet, I promise I'm getting through the list. I'm so sorry. I know a lot of other productions have like a team or moderators. It's just me on this, and that's kind of how I like it. I want to make sure I interface and speak to everybody, hear what they have to say. So if I'm behind, I'm very sorry, guys. Big dog. Hey, Lou, did MJ12? That's a great question. Yeah. I'd like to ask him straight up. I know Lou likes to answer questions he can't talk about in a bit of a roundabout way. Won't really kind of confirm or deny anything or even give the classic intelligence line like I can't comment on that. So would like to figure some good ways to structure subjects such as that. Volk poster, your girl have a sister? thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Spectre, you the man. Thank you very much. Volk should have been double champ. Pride rules. Hey, don't get me started on that. Let's see the difference between Volk and Islam in the fifth round. And the second fight was CGI. Is there any known case of a UAP crash in 2004? I know there is the Tic Tac case, but that's not a crash. That is a good question. And like we'll talk about, we have two origins and two kind of stories surrounding the 2004 JSOC team. In John Stewart's source, they talk about a crash retrieval. In the Sentinels of Ether story, it talks about trafficking humans. So I'm not quite sure, but I like to pay attention to the Sentinels of Ether because remember that location in which this event takes place, Coyame, Mexico. And we have covered a case with a story of a team that of a Mexican national military team that died trying to transport the vehicle. I hope I've answered. Yes, I have answered your birdie. I'm very sorry if I'm slow on them. Subpoena Davis put off Elizondo Sheehan, Nell Mellon. I think Nell is one of the most interesting people to talk to about this topic. I have myself, I've spoken to Chris Mellon a few times. I tried to invite him on for an interview. He declined for the moment. Hopefully we can get that in the future. I would really like to hear more from Chris Mellon. So do you have any comment on Hans Kammler? He was in charge of the Nazi secret weapon and only was recently revealed, was taken into custody after U.S. custody. Yeah, where did I hear that? I was talking to somebody. Yes, I was talking to somebody about this in terms of. I was talking to a friend about this, that there are some documents stating that Kammler was actually alive. I think this relates to a supposed Nazi base that was explored post-World War II near the Czech Republic that was revisited about 40 years later. I have to check my notes on that, but that is ringing a bell. Andrea, I love your videos. I got my mom onto them. Thank you. I hope your mom enjoys them. Structure question. Lou, if someone kept D, I don't know, any alleged recoveries during his tenure with ATIP? Yes, that's actually a great question. The only one I can really think of is the 2008 Needles, California crash. And that would, of course, be right at the time he has joined ATIP. That is a case that was covered by George Knapp. I would like to cover that in the future. There's not a ton around that case, but I know George Knapp in his reporting commented on some really interesting kind of military presence around that time. Again, if you haven't heard of that case, it's Needles, California, 2008, and I will cover that. Will be Milo. Thank you so much. Would love to see a collab with you and Lou or you and Ross. Love to see Michael back. Tim Gallaudet likes your stuff. Have him on. Ross is still that dude. I'll tell you that much. I've reached out to Timothy Gallaudet. He is not doing interviews at the moment, maybe in the future. I'd like to have Lou on. I'd love to talk to Ross. And with Michael, I'm still investigating his case. So if there's new stuff to cover, of course, I'd love to talk to Michael again. Mrs. Floyd, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And if young Hannah's watching, tell her I say hi. MJ12 reworded question. If someone was to keep digging on MJ12, would they eventually hit pay dirt one way or another? Good way to put it. I like that. I like that. All right. Pepsi per perspy cautious. Kate. I can't. You guys know I can't speak. Did you hear anything from the insider who manages multiple USAP facilities about using PLFs and psychotronics to fake alien abductions and blame them on ETs? No, I did not. But however, referencing the Stephen Greer DPI archive, there is witness. Let's see if I can get this off my head. 10892. 10892 that talks about being on a retrieval team at Nellis, observing a sunflower-shaped NHI craft that had landed, and also fake PLF. If you guys don't know what a PLF is, that's a programmable life form. This person in the DPI archive number 10892 alleges that after his time on a retrieval team, he encountered a programmable life form in a fake abduction. I have all of those files downloaded because we know Stephen Greer and OPSEC, so I don't know if those operational security, I don't know if those files are going to be taken down, but so I would like to dive into that case and give it its due diligence. The documents came out in 2021 that show Hans Kemmler was taken into custody. The OSS agent who took him into US custody said to his son, Kemmler had knowledge of weapons that influenced the Cold War and future. Yes, and that was the, correct me if I'm wrong, and if you're on this subject, that was the location in the Czech Republic where the Nazis supposedly stored some art, precious cargo, and possibly weaponry. Will I do a video on the UAPDA closer to December? Yeah, I probably should at this point, seeing as I reference it almost every video, especially the line about legacy programs, the 1954 Atomic Energy Act, and classifying UAP materials as transclassified foreign nuclear materials. So I would like to do that. Is the control group headed from NATO outside US? That's a good question. There is a lot of there's a lot of interesting routes to go down to say that the control group handling the UAP issue isn't necessarily tied to one nation. If you remember back to 2023, we have Canadian politician Larry Maguire, who wrote to the Canadian Defense Minister requesting to sort of start to divulge UAP information due to the collaboration effort between Five Eyes Nation on the UAP issue. So we at least know outside of NATO, there's sort of a Five Eyes effort to study UAP. Whether that means the program extends to all five nations or it's primarily operated out of the United States or quasi-nationally, I'm not quite sure, but that's a great question. Did you see Eric Davis admitted on Facebook? Yeah, we're about to talk about that, Mr. Ben. I cannot wait. That's very excited. The Wilson Davis memo was my first ever video, so I'm happy to revisit it. Who Blazin? I don't know, man. I wouldn't be able to speak if I was Blazin. Max Parr, thank you so much. You're one of the best researchers out there. So happy you spend the hours you do dedicated to this. What's your opinion on NURO, National Underwater Reconnaissance Office, BTW? So thank you, Max Barr. I really appreciate it. The kind of USO underwater naval aspect of the phenomenon is something I am going down deep rabbit holes to research. If you watch my off-world technologies division, I have studied a specific naval center I don't really want to talk about, and other naval centers that put to mind that sort of the Navy has a massive vested interest in UAP technology exploitation programs or the study of USO. Earlier in my research, I would solely really only focus on the Air Force and mostly Air Force projects. Of course, the Air Force paper trail in UAP is so simple to find. You can just go back to the 50s and look at USAF regulation 200-2. You can look at any sort of USAF response to any sort of UAP discussion, but I'm really starting to take a harder look at the Navy. So with the Navy comes analysis of the any sort of underwater reconnaissance office, any sort of alleged underwater bases as well. I was actually talking to Ryan Wood about this. In his research, he has come across two really interesting spots underwater underwater, one off the coast of Florida and one off of Catalina Island in California. So as we move further with this channel, I know I've done the two USO videos. I really want to dive into more about kind of the Navy and any sort of underwater effort in relation to the phenomenon and USO in particular. What do you think of the Phil Schneider story? I haven't, and thanks again, Max Parr. I really appreciate that. Guys, Max Parr is a good friend of mine. I really appreciate everything he does. He's a great dude. What do you think about the Phil Schneider story? I haven't done it. It's due diligence. What I do know is that Phil Schneider claimed to have experienced a firefight in underground tunnels with NHI. And I think fellow soldiers he was with were turned into some sort of goop or just faced horrific weaponry. And I know he also had a very mysterious death. Now, that is the extent I know of Phil Schneider. I would like to look at him someday. You know, maybe he'd be a candidate for a UFO whistleblower video. I'm not sure yet. I'll always admit when I don't know something. And right now, my knowledge on Phil Schneider is not great. Interview with Danny Sheehan might be fruitful. I would love that. I don't know if I could top my friend Jesse Michaels, though. He put out that interview with Sheehan, and that's the best. Now, there is a good chance that very soon Mr. Michaels and I will be together, so I'd love to maybe just have a discussion with him, maybe record it, and maybe we could talk to Jesse about his experience with Sheehan. So I think that'd be great. What does Brady say? Anyone who has checked out the old interviews on Greer's channel is really missing out. I 100% agree. Anybody who's listening right now, please go to... I got the website wrong earlier. Go to drstephengreer.com. Up in the banner, there's a link to witness testimony. There you can find everything from Philip Corso to Robert Wood to... I think you can even find like Carl Wolf there and so forth. You can find a ton of interesting interviews. Programmed life forms. They are clones using real ET DNA from downed UFOs. They clone the beings and put some advanced tech in their brains to control them. That is an avenue I'd really like to explore. If you have some documents or just kind of research avenues on PLFs, please send them to me, uapgrove@gmail.com. I'll be better about the emails. I'd really like to learn more, especially as I look into witness 10892. And again, if you want to look at a witness who spoke to Greer about PLFs, 10892. Jim Shu, I love you too. I just got done with a Skinny Bob and Alien Deep Dive. Do you believe either of those are legitimate? I have not done the due diligence into either video. I know that the Alien interview is kind of John Stewart's jam. I'll let him do his thing. I think he's got an interview coming out in December. So I'll reserve judgment for then. The Skinny Bob, I know that's floated around. I know it's such a contentious thing, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think some people are inferring that Ross Coulthart alluded to Skinny Bob being maybe Skinny Bob or other footage in the public domain being legitimate. So correct me if I'm wrong. Hans Kammler must have had knowledge about the Magenta 1933 and maybe Germans moved it to Skoda Works. And this might be Skoda Works I'm thinking of. Speaking of the 1933 crash, I know two guys that are excellent and have so much knowledge on the 33. So if you guys want to see a revisit of that, this guy has so many connections to Alan Dulles and so forth. I'd love to revisit that. Do you think Eric Davis would testify? I don't know. Maybe he has behind closed doors, but I really don't know. I really don't know. Okay, let's see. The Wilson Davis is huge confirmation of the fact that Stephen Greer. Yes. Thank you. I know people have been talking about that lately. This is a confirmation that Stephen Greer in 1997 did brief Rear Admiral Thomas Wilson, a deputy director of the DIA, and other politicians on what we can assume is the disclosure briefing document from 2001. And if you guys haven't read that, I'll flash it on screen in just a minute, and kind of we can talk about that as well. It has been said that every deep water deployment that has a nuclear payload has some type of UAP encounter, every single deployment. That brings to mind Lou speaking recently of the, what was it, Hawk missile? No, I can't remember what type of missile, but in a retrieval recovery to find the cassette for the missile telemetry data, a massive UAP rising from the surface and essentially taking the missile. So that's interesting. You know what case has stuck with me when I covered USO? It was the case of the, I think it was a Tic Tac in 1950 recorded in Blue Book. That was like a Tic Tac or ovoid shape. I don't think quite Tic Tac, that was just hovering above the surface and was churning the water. That was almost like vibrating very fast. For some reason, that particular USO case has really stuck in my head. Phil Schneider was very sketchy. His death was very sketchy. We got to look into that, guys. I think one time I want to make a video just talking about suspicious deaths of UAP adjacent individuals, whether that be researchers or whistleblowers. What comes to mind is James E. McDonald as a primary person I want to talk about. 2 cents. Thank you very much. Criminally undersubbed Gerbs, one of the few genuine nuts and bolts reporters out there. I really appreciate that. Super thanks from Miss Hannah Floyd. Thank you very much. For those who don't know, this is my lovely girlfriend. CH, when is the program coming out? Hopefully soon. I know Jesse Michaels has actually watched the program. I think that Robert Hastings has as well. Robert Hastings wrote UFOs and Nukes. Hopefully soon. I know James Fox was just had another kind of investor on the program. I am beside myself excited to see that. I really want to watch. All right, Max Parr. Isn't it fascinating? I wonder what underwater assets were going to be considered for ATIP's Project Interloper. Yes, for anybody who doesn't know, Project Interloper is Lou referring to kind of entrapping UAP with kind of large nuclear signatures. October, November, according to UFO Twitter. Okay, let's see. P. Is this hobby just our way of making the world more exciting? After decades of this and an entire planet that could present evidence, there is still nothing but stories and debunked videos. No, I do disagree with that. At this point, at least to me in my research, I don't really factor videos. And I know I've covered 2 videos in the past, but I'm moving away from that. I think that endless debate is going to circulate around videos. But I do think even the conversation is expanding so much with Lou Elizondo, David Grush, but there is a massive, massive, massive provable trail of a UFO cover-up, an interest in UFO from USG and other military sources from at least the 1930s, if we're factoring in Magenta. So this is the difficulty here and why we're stuck with so many stories is disinformation around this subject has been so complete and successful. It is so difficult to unwind this entire topic. This brings to mind stuff like OPNAV 3820, Air Force Regulation 200-2, which would restrict UFO reporting to certain channels to skirt the bounds of Blue Book. This brings to mind J. Allen Hynek in Blue Book, which would discuss away UAP cases as nothing more than swamp gas or weather balloons. The famous case there, of course, is the 1955 case where many people in Michigan saw craft that J. Allen Hynek famously said was swamp gas that even at the time Senator Gerald Ford took an interest in. And all of this extends even towards the modern day with Arrow, right? We have the Arrow Historical Report, Volume 1, which demonstrably lies about some of the witnesses there. For example, Michael Herrera. It discusses Michael Herrera seeing an extraterrestrial craft and American Black Ops team. So even today in 2024, there are official lies by USG elements about the phenomenon and about this topic. So there is a map. And let's not forget the Robertson panel, the Condon report. Remember in the Condon report by Edward Condon out of CU Boulder, which states there's nothing to UFOs, there's nothing there. There are multiple cases in there, such as a 1955 case from an RB-47 jet, which multiple jets in formation saw, I think, a disc-shaped UFO. It was caught on visual and radar and so forth, performing insane maneuvers. And the Condon report takes a sighting such as this as whatever, it's nothing. So there's a very provable cover up here for 80 years. What it is, this is our purpose here. I mean, we can even look at Roswell. Remember, Roswell case closed, the US Air Force debunk on Roswell didn't show up until 1994. Roswell occurred in 1947. In that 1994, the US Air Force labeled the Roswell weather balloon Project Mogul Flight 4, which was then proven to not have even taken off on the day it was said to have taken off. And I think Roswell explained the bodies away as dummies, which weren't introduced into official USAF service into the 50s. So there is so much sketchiness around this topic. I could ramble on forever. Big dog, miss talking with you and Max. Get back in. Let's chat with Max. So what do you think about Eric Mitchell, who Dr. Michael Masters had a very intensive, I might not be familiar with Eric Mitchell. Please enlighten me. Pete, best. Thank you very much. UFOs and NATO, Richard Hall interview was firsthand witnesses of finance secure team. Have you seen it? Many leads. When is the Marches video dropping? I have not seen that Richard Hall video, but I'm going to right now. Full transparency, I got two projects I'm working on right now. One of them is the good old Kecksburg 1965 crash retrieval case, which is a fantastic case. I cannot wait to talk about it. I'm trying some fresh research avenues on that case. Some things that haven't really been explored too much that have been in other kind of researchers' files. Okay. Troll Mama, what can we do to support you? Just further the UAP discussion. That's it. Continue to talk about UAP. Inform your friends who think that this is just a conspiracy and lump in the UAP phenomenon with Bigfoot, ghosts, ghouls, ghasts, demons. Explain the facts behind UAP. That's kind of why I started this channel, talking about everything from Robertson Panel to the creation of Blue Book, Sign, Grudge, the players in the 40s and 50s and so forth, early sightings. Blue Book sightings, USO sightings, and so forth. Take a couple of hours to answer. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll do that this week. Absolutely. Would I interview Dr. Stephen Greer? I absolutely would interview Dr. Stephen Greer. That would be very controversial, but that is somebody who I would like to speak to. Absolutely. Again, we have our opinions. Everybody has their opinion on Dr. Stephen Greer. I still will not downplay some of his previous efforts in the world of UAP. So, absolutely. Big Dog, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Okay, let me get through these and then let's touch on the Wilson Davis memo. Correct. Was that UFO an ET UFO or man-made ARV? If you're talking about the Michael Herrera in Arrow Historical Report Volume 1, from time number one, he thought that was a man-made vehicle. James Forrestal getting thrown off the building. Yep. I think Ryan Wood has some good stuff to speak about too on that. Of course, Dr. Mack as well died in a really sudden drunk driving accident. Dolan, I think Dolan has a book coming out about USOs, and I would really like to talk to him about that too. Dolan's just fantastic. Dolan's one of the best, guys. I really look up to him. What have I missed? We're nothing yet. We're just answering questions right now. Everyone's asking great questions, though. That's why we get through this. Can you ask Lou about the Trepang photos? Yeah, actually, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. What's up, David? I have not. The people I want to talk to right away, just researchers, Grant Cameron, Richard Dolan, and a huge one, Michael Schratt. I'd love to talk to these guys. There's plenty of other researchers I'm in contact with, but I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with them. So, Chris Libby, I was kind of baiting a Facebook post the other day about UAP USO, and the only people to respond like it besides Rando 30s was my active Navy friend from high school. Interesting. It seems on Reddit and other platforms, we're starting to get a lot of Navy personnel talking about sightings. I think there was on Reddit about a Navy cook the other day who talked about his USO sightings. I can't really remember it. I only glossed over it, but he saw something rising out of the water. What do I think about the Nazca mummies? The Nazca mummies are very interesting. I will be interested to see further research on them. I know there's a website. I can't remember what it's called, but you can actually view the 3D scans of the mummies, including the one that supposedly has a fetus inside. I know there was some claims that a lot of these mummies were like a goat head or something, or animal parts stitched together, but I think there's been some research to kind of downplay that. Again, I'll need to get a better understanding. So I'll continue. Saw a video about a PhD building a nuclear honeypot to draw on UAP. Yep, in Mr. Interloper. Okay, please send your thoughts and prayers to UFO researcher Nicole Sackatch and Courtney. Yeah, I know. I've actually spoken to Courtney. Courtney's wonderful, and I have heard that she has faced intimidation and threats for some of the stuff she's done. So yeah, I have heard of that. So yes, keep her in your thoughts. Ben, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That means the most to me. I really, really, really appreciate that. Mr. Harry, cute dog. What do you think about the Greer file? Or what you did with the Greer files, like them or not, you went for the date. The Greer files are not done. There's a lot. Actually, there's a lot more I'm going to cover from the Greer files. Everybody knows UFOs are real. That's not the debate now. Who's piloting them? Yes, I agree. Who's piloting them and who has them? I'll write directly, Dr. Eric. Okay, I'm writing down Eric Mitchell, sir. Thank you. Let's see. Which is a question that has been answered decades ago by Greer and other people like Ben Rich, confirmed that UFOs are of two types, ET and man-made UFOs or alien reproduction vehicles. I have started to move forward tremendously in my outlook towards the possibility of ARVs and man-made vehicles derived from extraterrestrial tech or just non-human tech in general. I am starting to really agree with that picture. Sorry, let me get through these. David, Dr. Vannevar Bush, the little I've read on him shows no signs of ontological shock. He seemed to pushed out of government work by 1950. So if he was the head of MJ-12, it wasn't for long. Yeah, quite possibly. But remember, from the Bowen manuscript, this was in 1962. And that was sent to the DOD for kind of review from author Bowen. And that was returned in 1962 with handwritten notes from Vannevar. So he was still fluttering around there. Mark Strike, people still can't decide whether NHIs are ET dimensional. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's very divided. And of course, that's probably a conversation that's going to continue to tumble around for a long time. I'm talking about everyone should, is it ET or ours? Yes. And, you know, possibly we can start to build a database of flight characteristics and craft. Maybe we can find a demonstrable difference in kind of acceleration mechanisms, sound output of craft and so forth. Zach, what's up, dude? I ever listened to Ray Bosch? He's a pastor who the Collins Elite talked to. No, I haven't. And I was talking about the Collins Elite with somebody today. So that's, I'm absolutely going to chase that down. For anybody who doesn't know what the Collins Elite is, this was referenced by kind of Lou Elizondo and some of that other crew who talk about some people within the USG who are basically terrified to investigate this phenomena because they think it's demonic. So that is what I'd love to kind of really understand the thought process there. And I'd really like to go down that rabbit hole. Schratt is a hero. He knows about the man-made UFOs. Schratt is excellent. If you guys don't know Michael Schratt, he's a CAD designer. He's worked with so many witnesses to kind of recreate images of their encounters. And he has covered a lot of cases that deal with UAP that have sometimes even utilized a human pilot. Jangy Squid. Oh, dude, your profile picture is nasty. But thank you very much. I really appreciate that. The Ivan 0135 videos. I think this is Skinny Bob, right? I was asking if anybody can tell me with kind of further confidence if this was Ross Coulthart was alluding to this video. Who is this Dolan guy? Richard Dolan. Please go to his channel. Look at some of his books. He's fantastic. Richard Dolan is one of the best UFO researchers out there. Do you know when the program Insider's book Sentinels of Ether will be published in full? I do not, but I have asked the same questions because I would like to read more. Have I looked further into Draper, Gaither, and Anderson and their connections to the SAGE program, MIT Rad Lab, Max Barr? No, I haven't. And I know when Max Barr drops a line of inquiry, guys, you listen. So no, I'm writing that down, man. I really appreciate that. I actually have no idea. So that's fantastic. I appreciate that. Rattle, holy crap. Thank you, Rattle. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, especially the Volk poster looking out. That's incredible. Thank you so much. Thank you. You're the best. What do you make of Lou Elizondo's claims regarding excision of a technological device, an implant from a U.S. serviceman who experienced a UAP event? I think that the implant has been a territory I have been a little afraid to go down. Of course, there's just that and abductions, or they can just be so hairy. What I need to do here is now return to the sort of Dr. Lear and his kind of extensive work on supposed implant removal. So once I kind of looked on that, I'll have a way better kind of understanding of this. But I found it fascinating Lou would talk about that with Ross, especially the implant. You are really cool and doesn't afraid of anything. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that. I'm afraid of a lot. If some Black Ops guys showed up at my house and threatened me not to talk about this again, I'd be pretty dang scared. So, but thank you. YouTube.com/RichardMDolan. I highly recommend checking him out. Would you recommend interview Nick Redfern? Yeah, absolutely. Nick Redfern's always really interesting. If you guys listen to the podcast Mysterious Universe, he is always referenced on there too. So I absolutely. Yep. Dr. Lear has some awesome work on implants, and that is going to be the next source. Okay, shall we discuss the kind of Wilson Davis stuff now? Let me figure out how to share my screen, guys. Present. Share screen. Let me window entire screen. Sorry, I've never done this before, guys. I'm still a bit of a novice. Share. Okay. So here we have from the other day, this was from a private Facebook group that that Eric Davis is in. And I believe since then, of course, I haven't been able to confirm this, but I think since then, he has left this Facebook group because, as far as I know, this was supposed to be a private endeavor that was leaked. But Eric Davis, if you don't know, let's start with an introduction to the Wilson Davis memo. How about that, guys? Because I know anybody watching this channel probably knows what the Wilson Davis memo is. Let me just pull up the file. We'll just do like a quick 15-second, probably like 2 minutes, actually. We'll just go through the memo real fast. The Wilson Davis, sorry, I have so many files. Wilson Davis, Eric Davis meeting with Admiral Wilson. Okay. Good. Yeah, so the Wilson Davis meeting recounts a meeting with Eric Davis and Rear Admiral Thomas Wilson in the parking lot of EG&G in Las Vegas in 2002. And these, of course, are the meeting notes. This is following a briefing from Dr. Stephen Greer in 1997 that he gave to select members of Congress and other individuals. So one of these being Stephen Lovkin, if you guys remember the person I covered, who talked about a, I really hope so. I truly hope so. And maybe, because Malmstrom discussed an Other World Technologies division. But anyways, back to the Wilson Davis memo. If you guys, I recommend watching my video on the Wilson Davis memo. It may be a slog to get through. I'm sorry. It's not my most exciting work. I'm sorry. I will revisit it. But if we look through this memo, it recounts meeting notes. And this is apparently about Admiral Thomas Wilson investigating the UFO program after being inspired by his discussion with Stephen Greer, Oak Shannon, and others. And he is stonewalled. Apparently, this program was embedded within special access programs, multi-tiered. What is really interesting for me to look into now that this memo has almost been confirmed by Wilson or Eric Davis is the discussion of the Project Keepers. Of course, this is Commander Will Miller. I've talked about him quite a bit. Commander Will Miller, let me just find the exact line about the Keepers. Because there's just so much. I don't want to make this a full Wilson Davis video, but I really recommend kind of watching my video on it because we kind of go through A to Z of the Wilson Davis memo. But yes, okay. The keepers of the program, I forget what they're called. I'm trying to think, but one of these, the Watch Committee, that's it. Comprising the Watch Committee is a security director, NSA retired, CIA expert, a program director, and a corporate attorney. And these are the people Admiral Wilson met with and was kind of stonewalled from looking more into the project. So the program manager directly said that the UAP program doesn't fit into any weapons program, intel program, spec ops, or logistics program. It was a reverse engineering program, something recovered years ago in the past. Is this Magenta? Is this Roswell? Is this Kingman? Or is this multiple? I'm leaning towards multiple craft. So within the Wilson Davis document, this goes into further about kind of what the program says. The technology is not from this earth. In this document, I think MJ-12 is also, Miller also asked about MJ-12. I can't remember right now if Admiral Wilson and Eric Davis, my mind's kind of spinning right now. I'm sorry guys for any mix-ups, but what is interesting here is for Thomas Wilson to talk about Corso, Philip J. Corso. If you guys haven't read The Day After Roswell, I would highly recommend reading that. It mentions the SAPOC and the reorganization of SAPOC and the program almost being found in an audit in the mid-90s. I highly recommend reading The Black Budget of the United States by Catherine Austin Fitz here. Anyways, we'll come back to that. So Eric Davis, I'll read this word for word, but I'm not really like a React content type of guy, but we'll just do that. Okay. Eric Davis says to Andre, no, he told me that he would deny meeting with me should I publish anything about that. I never published anything about our meeting, but Ed Mitchell's Unethical Kids released his copy covered by Ed's signed NDA of my interview notes to a friend who had an interest in UFOs. The latter individual is responsible for shopping the notes at a UFO conference to the highest bidder, which was Grant Cameron. Unethical Grant Cameron consulted a lawyer and decided to publicize the interview notes on his YouTube channel and a podcast. After this is when Wilson denied meeting me when contacted by multiple ufologists and UFO media personalities and mainstream news reporters. But here's the issue with that, guys. I have, remember James Rigney I covered in the video. He was the one who kind of got the memo out of the estate, got it to Grant Cameron. James Rigney was not sold this document. Whoever the individual in Edgar Mitchell, astronaut Edgar Mitchell's estate, went through his files, and between James Rigney and this individual, I don't know who this individual is, he got his hands on the documents, and James Rigney shared this with Grant Cameron. In fact, I have James Rigney up here because to talk about like a Edgar Mitchell's unethical kids, I don't think this involved his children at all, besides just a relative. And Grant Cameron, I don't think, was sold this document as well. So James Rigney says, I showed these notes to Grant and then a few weeks later sent him a copy. Yes. And I've talked to James about this. He said this to me. To say they were hawked around to the highest bidder is ludicrous. Yes, there was never a mention of any sale here. Dr. Mitchell's family were not involved at all, other than Dr. Mitchell's nephew, now deceased. I'm happy to clear any of this up. James Rigney has started to, he doesn't post much, but I really like that he's talking about this because I think by Eric Davis here, he's obviously a little emotional about the Wilson Davis memo, and he might not be fully familiar with the process of how it leaked. But I will say, before the memo made its way to public, multiple people have seen the memo, right? Multiple researchers have. I have also talked to an individual who told me in an off-record conversation that he was aware of the memo years before it was ever released. So there's some pretty important people who know about this. And I'm not familiar with Nicole. Actually, yeah, we just talked about Nicole, but she has an email from Grant Cameron regarding this. Grant Cameron says, "Wow, someone is pissed. For the record, I never shopped the Wilson Davis memo notes. I promised James Rigney that I would put them in Beyond Managing Magic. When I realized I could not do that, I just made the notes free to anyone who asked about them. Chase Williams got a copy and helped me. If everyone had stopped playing cover up, I would never have been in such a position. Usually, Eric is pretty accurate. He messed up his Safferty accusations, and losing that, I would have thought he would be a little more quiet. For the record, many of the top researchers have now confirmed they have had the Wilson documents for years and chose to sit on it. Yes, I've definitely heard that too. Why must I be the guy to have to disclose stuff other to disclose stuff other disclosure? Researchers are hiding. Wilson documents, Johnson UFO study. Interesting. Douglas aircraft documents. Interesting. Advanced physics group notes. Rockefeller Initiative documents. Interesting. And yet vindicated the alien autopsy emails. For anybody who hasn't heard about the alien autopsy emails, that surrounds the supposed alien autopsy film that was obviously faked in like a London apartment, but that might be based on a real sort of autopsy. There's an email chain with Dr. Kit Green that covers this. So that's I would like to cover that too, because that's very interesting in the future. Finally, almost all of the stuff I disclosed, I have never read. I only had to read the first page of the Wilson interview to know what I was holding. Interesting to see Mitchell had to sign an NDA. I assume Bigelow controlled that. That's very interesting. Edgar Mitchell signed an NDA to receive these meeting notes. If businessmen can silence researchers with NDAs, why is the community always crying about unethical government obeying their NDAs? No one ever offered me money. Therefore, I was never forced to sign my life away and lie my ass off. So, yeah, I think Grant Cameron makes a really powerful statement here. So I guess the question is now, why did Eric Davis wait until 2024 to discuss the Wilson Davis memo? I find that Eric Davis, I kind of said this earlier, kind of pops up and around when he makes to make statements, whether this be discounting guys like Jason Sands, discounting Bob Lazar, and so forth. Eric Davis has been on kind of a tear lately, talking about Lou, saying that Lou never ran AWSAP and ATIP specifically. So it seems that I really can't think of an exact reason why now of all times he would discuss the Wilson Davis document. If you remember back to 2004 in Stephen Greenstreet's basement episode, Greenstreet actually asked Eric Davis about the memo, and Eric Davis just gave the whole, I cannot confirm or deny that. So why now? But this is really interesting and extremely consequential. I remember back in the day, guys like John Greenwald, and John Greenwald has a fantastic new video on AWSAP and ATIP. I really recommend watching that. But I think he thought the Wilson Davis notes, at least I not thought, but he proposed a theory they might be like a film script. So there was just a lot of information shopping around about them. So let's look at some of these comments real fast before we carry on. About this. Am I mistaken, or does Robert Bigelow always seem to get a pass because he's interested in this stuff? Could be totally wrong, but does anybody ask him to put up or shut up? No, that's a good point. Of course, he's been interested in kind of of course, behind NIDs and kind of consciousness studies and after death studies. And he has been very quiet since a lot of this has been discussed. It's because Eric Davis still has a security clearance. Yeah, it's pretty clear the memo is real. That's why he has to do these obtuse attempts at obfuscation. Yeah, at least in myself, I'll admit kind of my biases here. I've always considered the Wilson Davis memo since I began researching it to be authentic. I find just so much valuable information in the memo. And if you guys haven't read it, I really recommend reading it. I think in my video on the Wilson Davis memo, I have it linked. So, shall we talk about the, unless anybody has any questions, we'll discuss the 2004 kind of JSON. You know, is this better for everybody at the black? Better for everybody's screen? Probably. Next, we'll talk about the JSOC. So Davis admits to what he has is controlling narrative. That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Doesn't anyone think it's weird a guy with a serious TSSCI clearance would discuss something like this and on and not use an app like Signal? Yeah, it is weird, but I think it's that same Facebook group or others. Eric Davis has been very cavalier about like Bob Lazar, Jason Sands. He seems to really like kind of blab about this. So how do you flip the style? If you have a Sumatra PDF, all you have to do is press I, and it really helps. Sumatra PDF is the best. I highly recommend it. Okay, so let's get to this last one by LC. In the weaponized EdCat or weaponized episode with Ernie Klein, he mentions anytime he brought up the memo around Davis put off, etc., their spines would go rigid. Truth. So, which recently Ross Coulthart did an AMA on Reddit. I think this is his second one. The first time he did an AMA, I think the vast majority of the questions were saying, Ross, tell us where the craft is, in regards to when Ross discussed a craft so large that a building had to be built around it. This AMA was very different. People asked a lot of great questions. Of course, people are kind of discussing Skinny Bob and stuff like that again. And somebody said, let's see if I can pull it up. Sorry, I'm on a, like a guest browser here. Ross Coulthart. No. I'm not a robot. Motorcycles? No, the helmets won't count. Traffic lights, really? Why do you guys have to? And you guys watch me do this. I'll probably mess it up. There we go. Look who we got in the chat. Just spot. What's up, Michael? Thanks so much for tuning in. Hey, cool. What's going on, man? Thank you. I really appreciate you tuning in. That's awesome. I'm gonna leave this up for a little bit. I really appreciate that. Michael, we're just about to talk about the 2004 incident and Sentinels of Ether, just because I think so many people have been talking about John Stewart and this 2004 incident, and there hasn't really been a lot of look back to Sentinels of Ether. So let's get started, guys. Shardul 27, and this guy's actually in my Discord. This was a fantastic question. So if you are watching right now, thanks, dude. I know he posted this in the Discord, so thank you. This is a fantastic question. Hi, Ross. Thank you for all that you have done and will do with this topic. Is there any merit to the claim that in 2004 there was a blue-on-blue firefight between a JSOC unit and a Lockheed Martin recovery team over UAP craft, resulting in the deaths of two JSOC members? Ross says just straight up yes and recomments, and that's not the only incident. So now we have Ross commenting on the validity. And of course, this is just Ross. He hasn't posted any sources or data for this. How do I join the Discord server? I think I can post a link here. Let me post it. Sorry, let me post that real fast. Invite people. Yeah, if that link works. So yes, so we have Ross Coulthart commenting on a 2004 blue on blue situation. We have John Stewart's story. I believe this came out in late 2023. I think this was in December, and this was about an individual reaching out to. Let's get Michael's chat back up here. That's cool. This was about an individual reaching out to John about a story of a blue on blue firefight that occurred in, I think, so there's a difference here now between the two sources. I think that Stuart Source, and we'll get through this as we read through, claimed this event occurred near the Texas side of the border, near the Texas and Mexico border. Sentinels of Ether talks about this being on the Coyame, Mexico side of the border, which, as we know from the Coyame video, is very close to the Texas border. So I'll read just this, just the initial message, and then we'll kind of just pick and choose through. I don't just want to, this isn't story time. I'm just not going to read through everything. Hi, John. I saw one of your recent podcasts. Thank you for covering the UAP topic. I have some information you may find useful for this. I served in the USMC and Defense Intelligence Agency as an intelligence analyst and then moved on to Lockheed as a security program manager. I no longer work at Lockheed. I was read into the UAP program, and the UAP issue is multifaceted. While generally it's known to the public at this point from the recent news articles that the United States USG has its own recovery and storage team for downed NHI craft, most of the people... Most of the people in USG community know about downed craft. This is where the real core of the UAP issue lies, not the religious implications or the biologics. Lockheed has had this team since the 1970s and have amassed a hoard of both intact and crashed UAP at a facility in Palmdale, California. At some point around the mid-1980s, they were able to successfully reverse engineer one of these NHI craft and keep this hidden and completely obfuscated from the USG. One of my senior security managers was firsthand legacy witness to this. Lockheed even relinquished some of the original NHI craft back into the custody of USG and lied, quote, saying that they could make no progress. This is where the heart of the dispute between Congress today and Lockheed is coming in to head in Schumer's recent UAP bill demanding the tech from the UAP legacy program. The USG realized that it was lied to about, I'm just having trouble reading. The USG realized it was lied to about the progress and now want full custody of the ARV vehicles that Lockheed currently has. Even though I was read into the general UAP program, I was never privy to this specific group while I worked for Lockheed, the in-house recovery team. There were only brief water cooler discussions I had with people directly involved that are personal friends I've known for many years. So let's stop before we get into the incident here. USG, for anyone asking, is U.S. government. Hey, Hayden. My contacts get dry fast. I know I blink a lot. I saw that in the interview with Ryan Wood. I blinked a ton. But USG is the United States government. The story here, what is really interesting, is so many times throughout my videos, we've covered a retrieval effort, mostly like spearheaded by the Air Force and so forth, Air Force elements, possibly JSOC. There's good reason to believe that something like the 24th STS group within JSOC and the Air Force has some part to play in crash retrievals. There's actually a Reddit whistleblower, a supposed whistleblower, a couple months ago that had a really interesting testimony on this. But to hear this about private corporation recovery teams, this is really interesting and not something that we have covered too much. Of course, there's the idea of these black operator programs that deal with craft and deal with humans and deal with operations. But we have never really explored the extent to which they have recovered downed craft. So here, this individual reaching out to John Stewart claims that Lockheed Martin has its own recovery team. Now, I can't remember, and we'll get through this, if this describes kind of the experience of the operators, what they have, if they're former like tier one, if they're just PMC guys. I'm not quite sure, but this is really interesting to dive into this territory about like basically a private team that is not associated with kind of U.S. operations. As we get into this, this raises some even more interesting questions, how this Lockheed Martin recovery team deals with JSOC units. And if you don't know JSOC, this is Joint Special Operations Command. This is the best of the best in U.S. Armed Forces. This is like 24th STS. This is 160th Division. This is Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6. This is Green Beret. These are just some bad dudes. Let's see how much longer we got in this. I'll read the rest of this and then we'll discuss. I know of an incident in 2004 where one of Lockheed's own reverse engineered ARV alien reproduction vehicle crashed into the Southwest. The USG was monitoring. They thought it was genuine NHI craft. They sent their own recovery team out from JSOC, but there was a violent altercation between them and the Lockheed recovery team that resulted in two deaths. This is the incident Grush is referring to when he says people have been killed to keep the UAP secret. This was a blue-on-blue situation between two completely separate recovery teams. The USG group had no awareness of the other one. I was privy to the names of two cuts off our satellite office. However, I would not go to public, and I am not sure about releasing this information. The only caveat to this is I remember the names of the two airmen that were killed especially stuck out to me because they were both clearly of Asian descent. I am Asian myself. I had debated a few times trying to inquire a way to track down immediate relatives and maybe contacting them. I don't know what should be done, honestly. I'm fairly certain the immediate families to this day are not aware of the actual circumstances regarding their passing. Okay, so I think John and him kind of go back a little bit there. But here we're faced with the kind of, yes, I think, I don't, 0604 says this friendly fire here. This is blue on blue action here. And like Michael says, JSOC has a bunch of good guys. This is really interesting. So here we're faced with the prospect of a US-based retrieval team. They have their rapid reaction unit, and they see this craft they think is an HI craft, right? And then there's the Lockheed Martin team that knows that their own reverse engineered ARV has crashed and they sent their team. And there's a collision between the forces, and JSOC, maybe they got the jump on them, which is surprising because JSOC, again, is the best of the best by this PMC, private military corporation, almost Lockheed team. So we have this story here, and I will link this in the Discord if anybody wants to read more, because there's a lot here. But this parallels the story told by the insider that Michael has spoken to, who published two chapters of a manuscript called Sentinels of Ether, which is kind of used in this individual's words as basically a ploy on Dopser, similar to Secret Machines by Tom DeLonge, to put truth in fiction to get out information. I think this was also done back in the 80s or 90s with Sedge Masters and Project Zodiac. So this isn't a new tactic. This has been done multiple times. And yes, that is really terrifying. But we won't read Sentinels of Ether, but I have just read it recently, so I can tell you a little more about what it's about. This story doesn't directly deal with a craft recovery. This deals with people being trafficked. And there is basically a JSOC team that gets the jump on, not really the jump, but they observe this trafficking operation from some Hueys. And this JSOC team is cornered and killed brutally by whatever this team is that are trafficking these individuals. The individuals are in Coyame, Mexico, and they load up on their helicopters, maybe with their cargo, maybe not, and they fly to a secret base around the region. So those are the differences here. There's no mention of Lockheed in the Sentinel of Ether story. There's a mention of Lockheed and John Stewart's whistleblower. There's no mention of craft in Sentinels of Ether, but there's mention of craft in John Stewart's whistleblower. There's a direct location given in Sentinels of Ether, including Coyame, Mexico. It's a little different in John Stewart's, which calls mainland U.S. So those are the small differences. Of course, you know, we don't have direct supporting evidence, but this 2004, this reminds me so closely of the 1974 Coyame incident, which occurred 40 years later in the same place in Coyame, Mexico. If you guys haven't watched that video, this is about an alleged story that of a crash that occurred on the Mexican side of the border, seen by people in kind of a remote area. A Mexican retrieval team is sent to investigate. The CIA has the jump on this recovery operation, and they send in their rapid reaction unit. But something based on their surveillance has shown that the Mexican retrieval team has stopped, was killed by something. This is, and the Americans take over the wreckage. Now, it's still not clear if the Mexican retrieval team was killed from some sort of leakage from the craft, or that the U.S. killed them. And still, this is just a story. There's not a lot of evidence for that case. I covered it because it's so interesting. But so we have the Sentinels of Ether story. We have the 2004 John Stewart supposed whistleblower. And then we have the 1974 Coyame incident, which all kind of tie in together. It's an extremely interesting story. I'll be interested to see if John Stewart has a further comment on this. As far as I know, he hasn't said very much. I think people have just kind of been, I think he's just kind of been saying like, haha, like I got it. I think he's just kind of been celebrating the victory on her. We still don't know if his whistleblower is telling the truth. I think that this person kind of went AWOL and AFK after this, and John tried to follow up with him, but he couldn't get in contact with the guy. So let's, if there's any questions now, let's go through them. I just kind of wanted to touch on that, because I felt like a lot of people were drawing to attention to the to John Stewart's Lockheed Martin whistleblower, but there was some parts of the puzzle missing to factor in Sentinels of Ether and the 1974 Coyame incident. So Yeah, so if anybody has any questions, we'll kind of go through that, and maybe in about like 10, 15 minutes, we'll start wrapping up. I'm trying to think of any other kind of breaking into incidents right now. I would like to know what you guys think of Eminent so far. Again, I haven't read the full thing. I've mostly been catching up on Lou's media appearances so far. And okay, let's see this. Michael says Ross has definitely been in touch with me on some details. Not too much since he's busy, but soon I expect to meet with him and tell him face to face. Now, I would really be interested to see what Ross and Michael discuss. If everybody remembers Ross's previous AMA, somebody asked him like, "What do you think of the Michael Herrera case?" And he says he was actively investigating. So I'm really excited to hear further developments on that. So that's wildly exciting. Let me get a sip of water here. So yeah, besides that, guys, again, I'm hoping to see Jesse Michaels quite soon. I think he's coming out to the state, and I'm excited to meet up with him. We are working on the I kind of leaked it. I don't really like to say it, but the group I encountered is private, but plucked from former special operations groups. I know some of them personally, but they are good guys helping me to an extent. Yes. So yes, okay, yeah, and that's something I wanted to talk on. Remember in the Arrow Historical Report Volume 1, they claimed that Michael said to them that he encountered US Special Forces. No, and Michael has been clear about this since the beginning, that he encountered a private team that had no association that he knew at the time from American Special Forces. Let's start going through these. I'm catching the stream a bit late, but I'm so lost. I thoughts on all this about tell me why you're lost, man. I'll catch you up. I'm sorry. I know I can drag on a bit. That's why I like to make scripts, because I can just drone on. About AI designing craft and military being infiltrated to the point where top secret stuff needs to be hidden. I have a good friend who actually is working on like a really good thesis about kind of the phenomenon and craft being sort of like a really AI driven, and maybe like a biomechanical artificial intelligence. So I would kind of like to follow up with him on that. Pete says Imminent is part of the drip feed of disclosure. Anything cleared for official releases? Why are they starting to disclose is the interesting part. Yeah, I agree. Why does Dopser approve of Lou discussing a 1950 crash retrieval case? Why does Dopser approve of Lou discussing Operation Interloper and so forth? This is very interesting. Everything is cleared with Dopser. Same with David Grush as well. The idea of a drip feed of disclosure is interesting, because of course there's likely elements within USG that are deeply entwined in the program who do not want any of this information to come out. Is there ever a point where top secret stuff doesn't need to be hidden? I think I can't remember, but I think people like Grush and Elizondo have a great take on this. With NHI technology and so forth, perhaps the technology itself and how to operate this technology can remain classified. You don't need someone who would wish harm to others being able to harness a craft that can go supersonic in an eighth of a second. But I think the reality of the situation shouldn't be classified top secret. I think all of humanity has a right to know the extent to what program officials and people high up in USG and the military know about UFOs, their purpose on this planet, their modus operandi, and so forth. What is your opinion on Salvador Pais? Pais is super interesting. I covered him in the Off-World Technologies division. He worked out of NAVAIR, the Naval Air Facility in Maryland, and he of course has patents on kind of almost like a kind of quantum vacuum fluctuations powering like an almost diamond or triangular shaped craft. If you haven't, I really recommend listening to his appearances on Kurt Jaimungal's Theory of Everything, where he talks a little bit more about the physics. Physics was never my strong suit, so I'm not I don't have a ton of interesting things to add there, but Salvador Pais is super interesting, and I find his patents wild, especially how they were initially denied, but they were picked up by the Navy, and he was working out of NAVAIR, Pax River. What's up, OpTV? How you doing, man? Great to see you. Great to see you, brother. Danny Sheehan answered Pete Mitchell's question in Jesse Michaels' interview. He said it's because Lockheed wants the license to tech and sell it. Okay, I don't remember that part, but thank you for saying that. Have I been interviewed before? No, I don't know. No, I have not. That kind of would be fun, but as you can tell, I kind of ramble. So we'd see how that goes. Rupsi says, imminent is crap. Excuse my French. A mix of truth and lies. That's how good disinformation works. Lou is clear to say what he says. Of course, there's still a lot of discourse around Lou, OSAP, and ATIP. If you guys haven't, I know he can be a divisive member in the community, but John Greenwald's recent video on kind of the memorandums and different files that have been released from ATIP and OSAP surrounding Lou and other players, that is super interesting, and I really highly recommend that. It makes the can of worms so much deeper, so please watch that. Which I understand is why Kona Blue was proposed. Lockheed wanted to divest of its materials, and Kona Blue was meant to be the way that happened until the CIA put a kibosh on it. Yeah, to divest materials into the hands of Bigelow Aerospace from Lockheed Martin. You got a signed copy of Imminent. That's awesome, man. That's super cool. That's super cool. Since Imminent had to go through the Pentagon approval for its contents, I think the section on alien implants is a slow drip for acknowledging abduction phenomena. Scary thought. Yeah, again, we talked about implants a little earlier. I think the basis of that work needs to come off of Dr. Lear's work throughout history, because it's just such a strange concept to wrap your head around. And the implications of the abduction phenomena, if true, are extremely disturbing as well. Anytime someone monetizes UFO stuff, I'm out. YouTube doesn't count for now. So that's like the grifter argument, right? I don't think Lou is a grifter at all. I think that after many years, for whatever reason, he's releasing this book. But I do agree that a lot of people will just kind of make a lot of UFO content or big claims for, you know, not much reason. But I personally wouldn't throw Lou in that category, but I still need to read all of Imminent. So, you know, my opinion is not fully formed. I have one huge advice to you before you get into abductions and all that. Learn about the science. Listen to Tom Bearden's lectures, because if you don't, you'll think that everything is ET. Absolutely. I absolutely will. I appreciate that. With any subject getting into, I want to make sure I have a strong foundation for research. Dobser is only there to censor classified specific details. Lou chooses his references carefully and tiptoes around classified details. Yes, he does. You can see that in the JRE interview and so forth. Lou is very good at drawing the line where he's speculating and not speculating, and drawing the line where he can't go further, and drawing the line to say, I can't talk about this, but here is an example. Also, what do you guys think about the Lou on JRE appearance? I think Joe was a lot softer on Lou than he was on David Grush. I was re-listening to the David Grush interview recently, and Joe, a lot of the time, took a position of disbelief to everything Grush said, which was a little strange to me. A little strange. Kelly Cahill is where to start looking for abductions. Gotcha. Do you know of any other good UAP YouTubers? Watch all of your vids and want more info. So I don't watch too much UFO related content. And part of the reason I made this channel is I thought there was a bit of a lapse in serious research outside of guys like Richard Dolan. So my advice would be just to read, to be honest. I would read Leonard Stringfield's Crash Retrievals 1-7. Those are brilliant. I would read Stephen Greer's Disclosure Briefing Document from 2001. I would read Magic Eyes Only by Ryan Wood. I would read In Plain Sight by Ross Coulthart. But I would also watch Ross Coulthart interviews on kind of Need to Know, as well as anything he's done with Bryce Zabel. There's also a lot of good old documentaries, such as stuff with James Fox. So as far as content goes, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with other UFO content creators besides some of the big dogs like Dolan. Sad to hear Lou is financially hurt by TTSA. Yeah, of course that kind of muddies up TTSA. So what do you think about the orbs in Lou's house? I find it very strange. Kind of, he really doesn't hesitate to go into kind of like the hitchhiker effect of UAP and strange stuff following him home from work at ATIP. I think even his wife commented on this as well. I'll have to find her comments, but that was really interesting to see her wife talk about that. Matt Sanders, correction. Danny Sheehan tiptoes and whispers to Lou. Back to Pete. And abductions are the hardest part to swallow once the realization of UAP is real. It's terrifying. I agree. The implications of abductions are very terrifying. I remember growing up that one of the first books I had was a book on Betty and Barney Hill, and it just scared the life out of me as a kid. John Greenwald clearly has a theory about Why, in his words, both sides are lying. Do you have any thoughts on what John's theory may be? Yeah, I think in his latest video, he says very specifically, neither side is telling the truth. And this could just be, and I can't think for John, of course. So even though I don't always agree with everything he says, I think John is a pretty well thought out person. He takes his time to craft his theses. So I would wait to hear from him. But of course, this could possibly be he just thinks this is room to muddy the water around the UAP discussion and create endless debate about ATIP and OSAP. I talked about this already, but how is Japan? Japan was the greatest place I've ever been. It has the best food I've ever had. I want to go back so bad. I didn't get to go to Kodokan Judo in Tokyo, and I want to so bad. It was obviously a PR deal, and Joe didn't take it seriously with Grush or Lou. Yeah, it was strange that he didn't take it seriously. I think that David Grush is one of the most valuable people to speak to right now. So it was strange. It was bizarre, Lou. I think he made a conscious effort, and he talked about this on JRE, that he was on JRE to talk about the phenomenon and not plug his own book, which I definitely respect. But he gave John Greenwald a huge shout out. And I know that Greenwald has had his huge problems and has been very outspoken about Lou. So that was interesting to see. I think it's curious how all the Senate hearings started right after the Chinese balloon. What are the odds that UAP topic is used as a vehicle to pass reforms with that deal with foreign stuff? I do not think so, because if we look at the Schumer legislation for both 2023 and 2024, it is very, very, very clear that the subject we're dealing with is non-human technology and legacy programs. Very clear. I think in the 2024 NDAA, non-human intelligence is mentioned about 27 times, I think it is. I feel like him not plugging his book was partially to avoid. Yeah, I agree. Timothy Good's Unearthly Disclosure is an excellent book. Yes. And was it Timothy Good that also wrote Above, or not Above Top Secret, Need to Know? Was that his book? But Timothy Good is great. I can't remember right now. If Lou can do remote view, why doesn't he hold a bit of demonstrations? Unlike UFO UAP, he has control in that. I would like to see demonstrations from people who claim they can operate remote viewing. That's still such a strange territory for me. I'd really like to see that. First thought was a skunkwork spying on him. I'd like to understand the technology behind those dang orbs then, especially if they can operate indoors. I have a 3-paragraph argument regarding UAP origins and the phenomena of abductions. If anyone is interested to see it, where could I post? My friend, you could email that to me at uapgerb@gmail.com, or you could join my Discord and post that to see. And I'll copy that and put the link in one more time, because I'd love to read it. I'd absolutely love to read it. It sounds awesome. Lou's wife was in the News Nation interview. Okay. Yeah. The grifter argument makes no sense. Take Greer, for example. He does 2 CE5 events a year. He's not a millionaire. How can he fund the disclosure project whistleblower needs his events with no money? I do think that Greer has income streams outside of just UAP, if I had to guess. I know he used to be a practicing ER trauma doctor, but I'm not sure. Mike says, I'm not sure why, but it seems very human that the orbs followed him after he was investigating from within the Pentagon. That's very strange. I need to read that passage in Imminent. Again, sort of like with remote viewing and stuff, that territory is very foreign for me. So I approach it slowly when I read about it, because it's uncomfortable for me, which I'm sure it is for many of you. What is your methodology for conducting research? That is a really good question. I really appreciate that. So when I'm investigating like a crash retrieval, for example, I will find a respected person that has covered this crash retrieval before. For example, for the 1974 case in Cahuillame, Mexico, that was Ryan Wood in Magic Eyes Only. He covered the case. And so I use that as a starting point. And from that, I kind of make a personal note sheet for myself of every single aspect I want to check out. And then every single aspect, for example, Koyame mentions, Fort Bliss and stuff like that. I will go look at ufo-search.com, which is a great website by Richard Geldreich. I can't remember that posts events by date. And I will start researching if there's any blue book, any recorded sightings or information on that day. If any official documents have been released about aspects of Fort Bliss and operations there on that day, or any official documents exist around that case, I'll analyze the Moondust archive. I'll analyze the blue book archive. I'll analyze if any popular figures on UAP disclosure have talked about this. And then I'll start researching the subject I'm working on in books. For example, I know when I covered, I covered a UFO case. I had to go into some of Jacques Vallée's old works, but my research always conducts with starting kind of like a foundational layer and topics I want to branch out on, and using various websites and books to kind of find out more information and kind of continue that as a decision tree. The most important part for my research, as I'm sure it would be for anybody, is a really good record keeping, because there's so much you can find when researching any case. So what's important to me is to have kind of bullet points for subjects and appropriate links, and from there have even further offshoots, and just kind of dive into what I find interesting about the cases, and then when I can form a thesis, I'll start to think how I can write a topic when using my references and evidence. So I'm an engineer by trait, so I kind of approach each script as I would like an engineering research paper, kind of like an introduction, an abstract, the data, the investigation, the conclusion, the references, and so forth. Keep up the great work. Thank you, man. You're one of the very few people that do thorough research. You're like Richard Dolan in his early days, and not only not as naive. I appreciate that. I love you too, man. Thank you so much. I love doing this. This topic is so multifaceted. It's so tough to kind of get to the bottom of anything. So I'm just kind of trying to do my part, slowing things down, analyze things on a case by case or topic by topic basis. Steph says, "Hey, Gerb, appreciate you for life, brother, and thank you, man. I'm sure thousands of us feel the same. What do you think the phenomena actually is? What's your theory so far, if you could share? Sorry if asked." So this has always been really interesting. I've always kind of bounced between the thought of extraterrestrials versus what some people like to refer to as like ultra-terrestrials, aka beings that may not exist in our three dimension spatial dimensions and one temporal dimension. Lately, I've found quite a bit of credible testimony that refers to crashed craft as specifically extraterrestrial. So there could be a combination of a presence on this planet, extraterrestrial, and some things that don't necessarily exist in maybe a corporeal body or what we would think as a physical being. But right now, if I just had to think out loud and just kind of say, here's what I think for crash retrievals and these crash craft, right now I lean more towards just a pure extraterrestrial source. At W, another thing I feel could be possible is that these craft, through its own AI, may be able to access psychic wavelengths themselves. Would explain a lot of behaviors that people have experienced. Yeah, absolutely. Find various methodologies and kind of I don't know what sort of wave, maybe radio waves, a frequency that can start to distort cognition and so forth. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great point. I wrote it over at Post Disclosure. Where can we find that, my friend? I'd love to see it. When are you going to upload the video on the glass ball that reacted to consciousness? I have uploaded that. That is the Off-World Technologies division. Now, there is an individual that I am speaking to, and that's really great, that has also claimed to have observed such a thing. So I hope I have an update on that, because it's very interesting. Okay, Michael Greer does real estate as well, so he's making money with that. Not sure if he does as much. Perfect. Okay, we know that besides just CE5, that Greer has other streams of income. Sorry, I wrote it over at Post Disclosure, but so far, no one is reading. Hey, post over here, post in the Discord, man. People here, we take this seriously. People will want to read this. I promise you, man. I certainly will. He then talked to the CIA guy, and Joe seemed like he doubted the whole UAP thing. Not gonna lie. He then talked. Mike Baker always seems to pop up whenever Joe talks to a UAP guy. Mike Baker, I've seen a lot of comments on Reddit and so forth saying that Mike Baker is his handler. I think that's hilarious. I think Mike Baker has appeared on JRE 14 times, which is a lot. So, whatever. Zach, that English dude tried pretty hard to nail Lou down to no avail. I didn't love Lou's answers. Makes it sound like he wants to stop corruption, but also won't point out what the corruption is. That's the English channel, the sort of smaller channel. Props to that guy for getting an interview with Lou. That's really cool to hear. I haven't listened to that yet, so I absolutely will. I know a couple clips of that are going around now. Spoon bending parties. Isn't that Yuri Geller's claim? If I'm remembering correctly, the spoon bending. Why would an interdimensional capable ET race abduct humans and put implants in them to track them, etc.? It's a very human thing. ETs don't need it, and they can do it without physical contact. Yeah, I mean, there's so many. Whenever you reach a hypothesis like extraterrestrial or even ultra dimensional or something like that, there's still so many questions. I know one of my good friends who really thinks this, the whole phenomenon comes down to a sort of advanced planetary AI that originates from outside our solar system. He's got a lot to add here. I think everybody on this planet has their own UFO stories. A lot of people do. I never really talk about it because to me, just a single witness testimony, there's not much to it. I, of course, multiple times in my life have just seen lights in the sky making very sharp turns, not satellites, because I'm always very careful to pay attention to that. Bright lights that seem to make angles or kind of dart around in the sky. I don't pay too much attention because I have no confirming evidence. I have no kind of multi-sensor detection, but I'd say a lot of people have seen strange things in the sky. Kudos for remaining open-minded and getting into the personal infighting that plagues the community. Yeah, man. I've noticed on Twitter, there's a heck of a lot of drama, especially around Lou, so much drama. I don't know how you could investigate fighting like that. So I don't want to get into that. Chris Bledsoe, I don't really have an opinion right now. I'm reserving judgment for doing a deeper dive on Chris. I've heard favorable and unfavorable things about Mr. Bledsoe, but right now I do not have much to go on. Am I skeptical about remote viewing? It's highly skeptical to me. This is a great question. If you asked me a couple months ago, I'd say a lot of the woo connected with the phenomenon is like very strange. Over time, just reading kind of the research papers from SRI and SAIC, listening to David Grush talk about Stargate and now Lou, and even people I trust like Ryan Wood even commented on remote viewing and so forth. I've never observed any instance of remote viewing. I cannot do it. I don't know anybody that can. So I've not seen evidence, but my mind is a lot more open to it than before. Of course, the more you study the UFOs, the more kind of strange things and psychic phenomena get introduced. So it's very tough to separate the two. It's very interesting. And like I always say, it's a really kind of uncomfortable territory for me because I've never interacted with anybody who claims to have psionic abilities or be psychic. So I would really like to see a remote viewing demonstration, if I'm being honest. Have I read Loose Threads by Omega Point? I have not, my friend, but I will write that down because that sounds any book I will absolutely read. Thank you. The Hitchhiker Effect is a real thing, not just with UAP. Agreed. Tom Bearden explains in detail down to the equations how to make orbs and anti-gravity craft in one of his lectures called Psychotronics. It's on YouTube. I have not watched that lecture, so I got some good homework to do. Thank you. Bledsoe is the real deal. All right, then I will continue to research and I have to spend some time to sit down with Chris. Have you seen one of the new Ross Coulthart reality checks with MJ-12? It gave credential to MJ-12 because of the 2022 JFK. Yes, I have. And that was with the Australian gentleman. That was fantastic. In my MJ-12 document, I kind of referenced it because Lou had just talked about it. It kind of really renewed interest in MJ-12 and JFK. Fantastic. Ross does some really great work. And that Australian researcher is awesome too. That dude was recalling facts off the top of his head like nobody's business. First saw your channel covering the UFO flyby. Hey, cool. That was forever ago. It looks too odd to be fake. Watch it on loop sometimes. You know what? Now after the claims of Lou, I'd like, and of course Grush last year, I'd like to see some of that dang 4K satellite footage. Who would you say is the John Mack of today? That's a great question. I have no idea. I don't know if anybody is doing the serious work today that kind of John Mack did. John Mack was really ahead of his time, took the abduction phenomenon so seriously. I really respect John Mack's work. The Wilson Davis was pretty much known to be real, yes, but he finally confirmed it in Facebook group. I feel bad for him because he had to take the hit on some trustworthiness with his clearance. Yes, I think a lot of people kind of saw the validity in the Wilson Davis memo, including the context around it and so forth. Thank you for answering. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You take care and stay safe as well, brother. Matt, I've been in Battelle facilities in Columbus and West Jeff, Ohio. Did not see anything UAP related, but they def have the security and facilities to keep it hidden beyond what I could access. I think it's Lou who discusses now Fort Detrick in Maryland containing biologics. And so that's a great research avenue to go down now. Thank you so much for all you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Integrity is definitely something I hold near and dear. I may seem kind of like an idiot sometimes, but if I'm unfamiliar with a topic or something I don't know, I promise you I'll always tell you if kind of my knowledge on something isn't up to snuff. I think it's important. I don't have all the answers to this. I just might be well-versed in some of the cases I've covered. Shout out to, I will always, man, I don't, the chat can get, The chat can get tough to read, but everybody's putting in their questions to speak to me, so I will always try to answer every single question. The sphere does sound a lot like the Bet sphere. What was interesting to me how this was described, the sphere at this division, was the sort of indent on top as if one would place a hand. But it does. It is similar to the Bet sphere. Have you dived into Eyes on Cinema? Yeah. Eyes on Cinema is really good. I don't know how the heck they get some of their footage. I mean, they have some great stuff down to like old interviews with Ryan Wood and Dr. Robert Wood. I've never seen in my life before. I don't know how they do that. They have amazing footage. I don't know for sure, but pretty sure you can pay to get on JRE. Really? I don't know if I'd want to go. I don't know. That'd be a fun experience, but I don't think I'm there yet. I know it's far from your top priority, and I really appreciate that you don't chase the algorithm, but I really hope to see you get the credit. I hope so, man. That'd be really cool to kind of have a bigger platform to talk about this. But, you know, we grow. We are growing steady. We're almost at 10,000 subscribers in a little less than nine months. So that's really, really great. And shout out Michael Herrera for being a legend. Yeah, thank you so much, Michael, for joining the chat. If you're still here, that's so awesome to see you in here. That English dude. You got Sean or Marab? Tanner, you know I got Sean. I don't even like Sean O'Malley, but Sugar Show is going to knock him out clean. This upcoming weekend is a treat for sports fans. We got one Fight Night Denver, which I didn't get tickets to. And then we have Fight Night Gilbert Burns, Sean Brady. Great Fight Night. And then Sunday we got them Cincinnati Bengals playing. So I'm sorry to my girlfriend, but we're watching a lot of sports this weekend. Thanks. Just email it to you. Thank you very much. I will read it either tonight or tomorrow when I catch up with my emails. Thank you. OpTV, because the phenomenon is real and people within the government know this, it would be illegal for a lot of these whistleblowers to reveal too much. They go to prison and truth will remain obscured. I think even Whistleblower Protection Act doesn't cover pensions. So even whistleblowers coming forward, there is still a very real threat to how they will provide for their family, especially after they've had a long and industrious military or kind of intelligence or USG career. I think that's a big concern for a lot of whistleblowers that's being overlooked. No pension security is offered here with whistleblower protection. How can we assume that how can we assume what NHI is capable of or not? Makes sense to me that they would use implants to do detailed monitoring. Yeah, of course, with NHI, non-human intelligence, it's almost, it's very difficult to kind of attribute human traits, human thought processes or human capabilities to something that is not human. We know they can manipulate physics as we know it to travel almost instantaneously, accelerate and decelerate, and perform feats of acceleration and deceleration that would turn humans and our best ballistic missiles into piles of grease. So, yeah, to kind of assume what they're capable or not capable of is tough speculation. Anytime any topic gets a lot of clicks, eyeballs, you will get those who want to take advantage of it. Just don't be a fool. Yeah, I agree. That's why I tend not to do like news of the day type stuff. I like to sit back and really spend my time researching stuff and really spend my time focusing on one case at a time. Doing kind of the news of the day stuff, you can really get caught up in a lot of stuff. And that's just not really my style either. Michael says, thank you to Pete. I'm just a guy who talked about some crazy stuff and that happened. Little did I know how much we connect the dots. Thank you, Michael. Mr. T. What's up, man? How you doing? Whitley Strieber's implants give him the ability to pull up information about anything in his vision while he's writing. That sounds like the eyes from the Black Mirror episode. You know the episode where the some husband, like, it gets blocked by his wife, also in White Christmas. Is it true you grew up within walking distance to Lockheed in Littleton, says Jim Shu? Yes, I did. The Lockheed Deer Creek facility in Littleton was walking distance. It's nestled within the start of the Rocky Mountains, right after what we call the Hogback, which is where two tectonic plates push up against each other. Rumor has it that facility goes deep into the mountain. So yes, I lived about a five minute walk from one of Lockheed's biggest locations. Thank you for all you do. I appreciate it. Thank you, my brother. I will answer any question. UFOs seem to be becoming a gateway to witchcraft. A lot more people are starting to kind of dive into kind of like a more woo, as people call it, like a psionic stuff, psychic stuff, as they talk about UFOs. It's actually really exploded this year. So I do agree with you. I watched The Men Who Stare at Goats. Great movie about remote view. I haven't seen that since it was in theaters, man. That is a good movie, Men Who Stare at Goats. I need to watch that again. I highly recommend Loose Threads. I will be reading it, my friend. I would highly recommend you watch the Joe McGonigal interview on Sean Ryan. Absolutely. I love Sean Ryan's projects. Absolutely. That sounds great. Have you noticed the sudden rise in USO stuff now? Yes. Since Timothy Gallaudet has spoken about it, there's a lot of buzz about USO. This is a great topic. I hope really starts to get covered. I know a lot of guys like Green Street and McWest like to point to a new video of a transmedial concept for a Chinese drone being behind all USO sightings. But no, sir, we have done a couple USO videos on this channel, and some USO cases are some of the most interesting. I think back to Kevin Knuth at the Seoul Foundation, who discussed a case where a USO traveled under a New Zealand destroyer ship, knocking out all the power. Had a great conversation with this about my family the other night. My younger brother asked where to start, and your channel, Red Panda Koala's intro videos, were my number one picks. Thank you, man. Red Panda Koala's, his documentaries are classics. Those are fantastic. They're so good. They're so good. Max Barr, have I looked into the GATE program? Ross Coldheart mentioned it in an AMA a few days ago. Not yet, but that is on my list of stuff to research after I finish Kecksburg and a certain private corporation that Mr. Kermit is also helping me look into. RV is very real, and it's so easily laughable that people deny it. I really want to see kind of remote viewing demonstration. I struggle with it because I've never personally been able to do such a thing or have viewed it, but I would really love to see situations of remote viewing. My mind is open to it. I really want to see it. Please quit your day job to do this full time. I'd love to. If the bills can be paid, that'd be great. Do you think MJ-12 could be a psyop for the US created for Russia? That is the claim of Mr. John B. Alexander. If you recognize the likely reality of UFO crash retrieval and reverse engineering, it does not make sense to me to create a program for the Russians to draw attention to UFO crash retrieval and reverse engineering, especially how the Majestic Files reference so much of Roswell and other cases, and Vannevar Bush and some key players who were, you know, even outside of their association with MJ-12, General Nathan Twining, really senior U.S. guys. It seems strange to me to bring a lot of attention to them. So maybe some documents could be, but I struggle to personally see how the whole set of MJ-12 documents as a whole could be used for Russian disinformation. Writing you now, re Eric Mitchell, please keep an eye. Yes, absolutely. What do you think of Wernher von Braun's warning that one day we'll be told UFOs are a threat, which happened since 2017? The threat narrative that weaves in with Project Blue Beam, if I'm correct, right? A lot of people like to point to Reagan's speech where he says, I think of a world where like our nations would be united under the threat of an alien invasion. I think it's interesting. I definitely think Lou and the TTSA guys, more so than somebody like Grush, kind of discuss the danger of UAP. Which I don't really have an opinion there, but I do notice that Lou discusses more of the danger of UAP, and I find it very interesting. Very interesting. Do you bother with ancient texts or religious references that seem like UAP or strictly to docs from the last 100 years? No, when I first started talking to my friends about this, because my channel first started like a huge PowerPoint for my friends. I think it ended up being like 300 slides before I said, I'm just going to make videos. I prefer more time spent on individual topics. I did reference many cases from before the past 100 years, including the sightings over Nuremberg, the 1897 Aurora, Texas supposed incident, some interesting lights seen in like 1100 in Jerusalem and so forth. So there's a lot of really interesting sightings over the course of history. The San Diego Sphere the full like 17 minute video by It's Redacted is great. The San Diego Sphere, it seems to be like a small metallic sphere with like a row of almost like black portholes around it, even though there's nothing to signify there's lights, but with two or three almost antennae off it. I recommend going to watch that video. It's really interesting. I get the feeling we maybe do for a mass public UFO sighting. They just seem to have happened every decade or two within the last I can think of, being the 2006 O'Hare UFO just before smartphones. That'd be great if we could get something in modern day, like the 1952 UFOs over Washington, D.C. That'd be fantastic. After reading Lou's book, I'm taking a remote viewing more seriously, but I'm disappointed with Russell Targ's Third Eye Spies. Hopefully there are some other resources giving us a working model. Now, I'd like to know, if you're starting to dive into the topic of remote viewing, what sort of sources are you reading about and so forth? So I might be able to piggyback off some of that research I need to kind of understand more of about where to start besides just reading the research papers from SRI and SAIC and Stargate and so forth. Tanner, yes, you have been here since the get-go, man. I remember you commenting on the first video. So I really, really, really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. What topic would you introduce to Joe? I would just want to talk about crash retrievals for like 3 hours, to be honest. I know we talk about many topics here, but sort of similar to Ryan Wood, crash retrievals is what I view as my bread and butter for investigation. There's nothing more that I love than looking into a crash retrieval case. Sick card this week. Yeah, the Brady Burns card is very good. And also Haggerty and Superlek in Denver on one. That's a great one championship. Zach. Oh, and if you don't use it, you need to get the hour breakdown of the Wilson Davis memo Richard Dolan does with Mr. X, who I think is Travis Taylor. They go into every single detail. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I would love to watch that. We'll be seeing you a few years in JRE as a legitimate boots on the ground. I'd love that. And I'd also love to, you guys know Joe does jiu-jitsu. He's a black belt. I'd love to roll around with him a little bit. Joe is a short, stocky man, so he could probably give me some trouble on the mats. O'Malley has grown on me. I agree, but O'Malley is nasty with his striking. I mean, anybody but Chito Vera with a titanium skull would have gotten eviscerated by that knee up the middle. O'Malley's a beast. He looks like a sideshow attraction, but he's a beast. I can't continue to believe YouTube is effing with your channel. Come on, you should be well over 50K. Do you think anyone? No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go into subjects like that. Maybe it's just difficult. Maybe there needs to be over time. There will be more of a growth and an interest in UAP topics. So we'll see. We won't go into that. We won't go into that now. Now I remember when Bob Lazar was on JRE, he also talked about a sphere that was in the S4 when it had a dent. Really? I don't remember that. I'm going to look back at that now. I remember back when that, I think it was 2019, if I'm remembering, when Bob and Jeremy Corbell went on JRE. That was awesome. What are your views on Philip J. Corso's claims? The Day After Roswell is a very interesting book, and I've been told recently by somebody very credible that I just got in contact with and I'm talking to make specific note of what Corso states happened with the technology gleaned off the Roswell craft. So I'm actively pursuing some investigations off of Corso's work right now, if that answers the question. I got to say this chat. Yeah, this chat's great. I mean, we got Mr. Michael Herrera in the chat talking to people. We've got people asking great comments. This chat is lovely. I've been in other chats where people are just saying wild stuff. So I very, very, very much appreciate this. Have I ever spoken to Jesse Michaels? Yes, Jesse Michaels is my friend. Jesse Michaels is such a cool dude. He first got in contact with me on my Kingman video, and maybe this week I will be hanging out with Jesse Michaels, this week or next, and I can't wait. Jesse's awesome. He's done so much for this subject, made so many great videos. I really can't wait. One thing about AI is that it needs to be taught constantly. Any chance you think the internet is how it studies us, that would, from an AI, studying the internet would be the perfect way to kind of understand the zeitgeist of humanity. Now, would I be worried that an AI would be looking at the internet to gleam off humans and look at the memes and all the terrible things online? Absolutely. But I think that that's very valid. I think that's a great method for even a biological-based non-human intelligent species to simply understand humanity at a glance. Michael Herrera is a legend. He is a legend. That's weird timing. That is weird timing. I was just listening to his interview with William Powlick the other day. Because I found it in the files of Greer that wasn't on YouTube. Apparently, it wasn't until Powlick's death in about 2005 or 2007 that his family agreed for this to be published. William Powlick talks about deep projects, including implants for operators and so forth, made out of a facility near Denver. This is a very interesting case, and that's actually really weird timing you bring that up. I've never seen anybody else talk about Mr. Powlick. So that's great. Let's see, what did Michael say? Thanks, Matt. I hope what I break open soon at some point will be legendary and help. I would love that. I cannot wait to cover that. Speaking of goats, big ups to all the goats in this chat. Yeah, everybody here is amazing. Thank you for everybody. Everybody. I just joined, bro. You're covering the best of the best. Wilson Davis Memo Majestic Documents. You know, I got a shout out to everybody that has kind of helped me in my investigation, been there for me. Everybody has helped so much. So whether it be Joey, Michael, Ryan Wood, Mr. RA, there's so many great guys, so many wonderful people around me. You and Jesse Michaels go deeper into research, except for maybe Richard Dolan. Jesse's video on T. Townsend Brown is a classic. And this video with Grush is a classic. Jesse is awesome. And Jesse just watched the program too. So I am so jealous of that dude. You made me do it. You made me do a 180 on Michael. Dude's a hero. Yes, sir. I'm loving seeing everybody. I'm loving seeing everybody be so warm to Michael in the chat. That's awesome. Makes perfect sense. It'll be in the ocean. I also bet millionaires in general have been expanding there, so it makes sense. They found a megalodon or something. Yeah, I've starting to really shift a lot of research into subaquatic. Have you ever looked into Nazis going to Antarctica to advance tech and do climate control there? Do you believe they went? I have not like serious research, but of course I've studied the subject. I think there was a Nazi Antarctic submarine base at the very least, right? And of course there was a Nazi presence near Argentina and so forth. So that is a really interesting avenue of research. I'm not too well versed in advanced tech, like if they tried to research Diglock or something like that but interesting. Good words from Michael. I always encourage everyone to be highly skeptical on the subject. Too many people looking to make money and sacrifice morals. Agreed. Do you expect to see brand new whistleblowers in the new hearing? I hope so. I haven't heard any rumors or anything, so I don't have much to add, but I would really like to see some firsthand whistleblowers, maybe Carl Nell, another person, maybe Carl Nell, Grush, and then two new whistleblowers with firsthand experience. Are there UAP related topics you plan to avoid indefinitely? Yeah, just community drama. I won't really ever get into community drama. I think anything else in UAP deserves a serious research of investigation. So really anything. I mean, we were talking about earlier, I even have my problems with Stephen Greer, but I absolutely would talk to him. I'd cover him. I will do a deep dive on the disclosure briefing document, but yeah, everything but community drama I'd love to cover. I'm trying to think if there's any specific people I wouldn't cover. I don't know. I have to think about that. One theory I have is that aliens are just human-animal hybrids grown because the time inside the craft goes by too quickly for any normal human to test. Human-animal hybrids, that is a frightening thought. The time inside the craft goes by too quickly. That's an interesting thought you bring up. My mind is drawn to an article that was published and deleted right before the congressional hearings in July of 2023 with David Grush. It was an article written by or featuring quotes by Sheehan that described a craft that a recovery team witnessed that when they went inside, the interior was as large as a football field. So that kind of subject of spatial warps with craft is very interesting. Very interesting. These are hard to investigate and prove. The Herrera case might be easier to prove. Yeah, there's still so much of the Indonesia experience we're still really actively investigating a lot there. Thank you, Roddle. Keep up the support for Grab. Thank you. I appreciate that, Michael. Scott Castle interviews about his USO encounter is pretty interesting. Surprised it hasn't gotten more attention. I have not heard of that, so I'm going to write that down. Awesome. And then in about 10 minutes, we'll sign off, my friends, but we'll keep getting through these questions and we'll continue to go through. I've suspected there's probably an NHI presence for a while now. Kevin Knuth seems to think that an organism can survive in oceans. They can hop from planet to planet in planets that just have oceans. That's an interesting theory. Of course, with UAP, there's also the subject of von Neumann replicating probes. If any of you guys have heard of the channel, John Michael Godier, he's really physics-based. He has a podcast called Event Horizon. Check out his channel. He always talks about von Neumann probes, which is a type of self-replicating probe that even like a sub-facet of light civilization could expand into the galaxy and the cosmos. So yeah, a lot of interesting things there. Was Roswell a real UFO crash? I personally think so. I think Roswell is one of the most well-documented crashes. And my confidence in Kingman has been growing by the day. Growing by the day. Edgar Mitchell was from Roswell. Some of the locals told him it was real. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Please have MH on again. The fact he's here in the chat speaks volumes. When there's new breaks in the case, absolutely, with Joey as well. Can't leave Joey out of it. Nuremberg was debunked for me personally by Richard Dolan. I think he does a great job of breaking down why it's most likely not a real event. Interesting. Okay. You told us you were an engineer. What kind of field? Mechanical, but over time, do less mechanical engineering, more like service and QA. When I was in university, I was told I'd be doing really cool things with math, and that was never really the case. So that's unfortunate, but that's just how it is. It was fun to go to school for that. Richard Dolan's wife is a noted RVer. If I ever get to talk to, oh, Era says that as well. If I talk to Dolan, I'd love to hear more about that. I really would. I really would. Let's see. Let's see. Isn't this remote viewing known as astral projection related to the meditation and getting into a dream state? Audit's relevant here. Again, if aliens are demonic, doing remote viewing, not going to be good. Yeah, agreed there. I think the relevance occurs just with many claims now that sort of like a almost like a conscious interface is needed for interacting with craft and piloting craft. But the extent of which there's some disturbing implications, just like you've said. Jimmy Akin documented his participation in a remote viewing experience in progress. He's not remote viewing, but basically a hide and seek type experiment. That's interesting. I'm going to look into Jimmy. Interesting. Thank you. I love seeing you guys talking to I love seeing you guys talking to Michael in the comments. The half dome, not a sphere. Okay. Love Corso's book, Day After Roswell. Yeah, I think that's just good reading. You know, with take it with a skeptical approach, just like anything. But I think Day After Roswell is excellent reading. Excellent reading. Continue to think others are still. I don't know about that. I've only ever had two people that have used my content. You know, in the copyright tab of YouTube, and they were just making like a compilation of different like testimonies and stuff. And that's fine. That's fine. Jesse's interview with Sheehan is such a banger. It's awesome. And I know he was teasing it for a while. I remember right before he dropped it that same day, a lot of people on Reddit were posting, what's happening with Jesse's interview with Danny? Protect Jesse Michaels. Yeah, Jesse Michaels is awesome. The work he's doing is sublime. It really is. Mr. T discussing scalar waves. Interact directly with the nucleus of an atom, which means they manipulate space-time itself. And very interesting. Ortal Chow, you and Jesse collab set. You turned me onto his channel, MH Goat. Jesse and I are discussing such things. We will see. I will leave that to him to discuss. Eyes on Cinema has a massive library of classic UFO contents and is always adding new videos. Yeah, guys, I always recommend keeping notifications on for Eyes on Cinema. Just for the content they post, you absolutely can't find anywhere else. It's crazy. If you were to give a skeptic friend a 1 to 3 sentence summary about why the UAP UFO alien phenomenon is probably real, good question. UFO sightings have occurred for centuries. The US government has downplayed and lied about these sightings in the Robertson Panel and Condon report. And credible whistleblowers have stated that the US government and private contractors are in possession of these materials. Biggest emphasis on the second sentence. I need to think longer to get a better one. Sorry if this has been asked. What up, D Babs? What is your educational background? I am not well spoken. I trip over my words all the time and blink all the dang time, but I am a mechanical and I have a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering. So that is my background. Is Dan Barish legit? I do not know. I was going to cover him, but then, I think it was the Night Shift posted some really long stuff on it. I haven't watched it, but I know that I think the guy's name is Clint that does that channel. I know he takes his work seriously, so I bet he's got some good stuff on that. I think he probably has a great stuff. I'll have to watch that. Any thoughts on the physics implications of UAP and the phenomenon? So physics is even though I'm an engineer, this may seem silly. I'm dreadful at physics. Like Maxwellian physics was really, really hard for me, but I mainly focus on the fact like it's really interesting how these craft sort of defy physics in terms of this their instantaneous acceleration, deceleration, transmedial ability. It almost seems like they create a space-time bubble around them that can dampen inertia to do such things and not splatter whatever is in the craft themselves. So physics is the physics of the craft. We'll leave that to Kevin Knuth. And his paper estimating flight characteristics of unidentified aerial phenomenon. Amazing paper. Highly recommend reading that, but I am not good. Interesting how the Bitcoin expert predicted an uptick in disclosure activity once imminent dropped. This includes the quiet endorsement from the Wilson. Interesting. I didn't know that. Thank you so much, Mr. Grover. I really appreciate that. I wish you or Jesse would solo or collab in Amy Eskridge investigation. If I do my video on mysterious deaths around UAP and individuals, Amy Eskridge will 100% be in there. Absolutely. Did you ever look into the AMA Reddit post about exobiospheric organisms from last year? Yeah, I did. I can't recall too much, but I remember that well, not well, but I remember that distinctly, but I need to re-reference that. If my name is requested in the hearing, I will testify in support from those I'm working with. That'd be awesome to see Michael testify. Awesome. There were claims that the Nazis escaped in UFOs to Antarctica, if I recall correctly. I don't know what to think about that. It's an interesting theory. Any theory about like the Nazi super weapons, the Glock and so forth is very interesting. I personally don't have enough confidence in any sort of research or backing to comment further. Chris Mellon pinned a couple of your episodes. What? No. Chris Mellon released a signal exchange with somebody I think he claimed was a high up USG or intelligence communities force, and they were discussing the Kingman crash. This was on Twitter. I just responded with my video because I had just covered Kingman briefly earlier, and it got a lot of traction. So the Nazi thing isn't true. I don't know. How do you... Yeah, Jordan, I haven't done enough research, so I really don't have an opinion. How do you sort through the crap without chasing rabbit holes? That's a good question. Having a baseline of research and individuals to speak to when I'm not quite sure about something or kind of just need to keep my head clear, run some ideas by people, of course. And ufology, there's so many rabbit holes and kind of crap out there. And just kind of weighing the pros and cons of different people's testimonies and kind of just leaving footage behind, I would say. Opinions on reptilians that she had mentioned. I think that John Ramirez has talked about that too. Former CIA agent John Ramirez. Reptilians are a scary thought. I think this is very different than like the David Icke reptilian subject that talks about reptilians being Obama and other politicians, but like just a race of most reptilians beings. And I must approach that with an open mind. We have Robert Sarbacher and Vannevar Bush commenting on insectoid-like beings, which is very scary to me. I'm going to look up that Powelek. I highly recommend it. It's on the DPI archive. Just search Powelek. I think it's there. It's just the full raw uncut footage. I really recommend it. I met Greys on DMT. As far as I can tell, they fast-tracked our evolution. I've been here longer than we have. That's interesting. That's like the machine elves, right? People describe what they see on DMT, which are these strange entities. I think even Alex Jones has commented on that. Anyone know what happened to the 4chan whistleblower? The document is pretty interesting now that we know a bit more about USO. No idea what happened to the 4chan whistleblower. I doubt when covering it, I'll be able to track down what happened to the dude, but I absolutely am going to cover the case. Have you looked into the manipulation of the accepted historical record? Is this the theory of phantom time that about a 300-year period between like the High Middle Ages, like the 1700s or like the 14 to 1700s system exist, and we're actually in the 1700s. I've never really looked into that, but I found that very interesting. I think the subject, if I'm getting it correctly, is phantom time. I meant to say, I suspected there's an NHI present in the oceans for a while now. Okay. I got you. Nuclear power UAP lore is the brainchild of Dr. Knuth. Maybe I should talk to Dr. Knuth. I haven't spoken to him in a long time. John von Neumann also worked on the Manhattan Project. Yes, he did. Did someone say Richard Dolan's wife is a sub? No, I think Richard Dolan's wife is a noted remote viewer, people were saying. A noted remote viewer. No, it was gray aliens talking. I'm used to extract DMT. Okay, so I think somebody said that this experience was just the DMT talking, and you are talking about actual beings you observed. Favorite BJJ move? Any follow... And whose lineage do you follow prefer, sport or self-defense? Now, that's a great question. I am from the Higan Machado lineage under Nobu Yagai. My favorite move, I like ripping twisters. I have been catching blue belts with twisters almost every day now, and it brings me incredible joy to twister somebody. You get the twister hook, you either banana split them, calf slicer them, twister them, or take the back. It's just a very sublime experience. And I would say sport, because I also train mixed martial arts and judo, and I have done some competing in jiu-jitsu. So self-defense is more the Gracie combatives, and that I'm a large man, so not a lot of people would probably try and Frankenstein choke me in the street. So mostly sports for me, mostly sports. I hope you can carry John Max Torch. Really hope you are a real one. I hope so too, man. One of my biggest passions besides crash retrieval is to speak to witnesses. That's one of the biggest things. I know a lot of people kind of feel uncomfortable doing that, but I will go out of my way to try and speak to witnesses. That involves cold calling. And we saw how that went with Witness TB. We saw how that went. Senior mechanical engineer for Cummins. Oh, cool. My senior project in school was for Cummins. We went to the factory in Indiana. We made a spark plug durability tester. The Cummins guys are really smart. Very smart. I find the Virginia case very compelling. I might relate it to other cases and focus on more so the crash retrieval aspect, because I know James Fox already has a brilliant, excellent piece on Virginia in Moment of Contact. I think Russia's talked about the UFO that is way bigger when entered in one of the leaked conferences. Yes, that was the Wall Street conference that occurred just after. But the original article came out in, I think, June. But he re-referenced that at that Wall Street speech he gave to like 60 people, that somebody leaked out some photos. Yes. If you look up astral projections, some people report back seeing shadow people in that realm, and sometimes they will hunt. That sounds terrifying. That sounds extremely scary. Michael's story is extremely compelling. No doubt about that. I agree. I can probably put a good word for you in Cummins. I appreciate that. I hope to be able to travel around full time for this someday, speaking to witnesses and so forth. Opinions on reptilians, same. I approach that with an open mind. I think there's probably a difference in the reptilians of David Icke, of the lizard people that are Obama and Hillary Clinton, versus a type of reptilian-esque species. I know Michael Schratt has discussed this from the notes of Leonard Stringfield. But same thing, if Robert Sarbacher and Vannevar Bush have commented on an insectoid, almost mantis-like being, I got to keep an open mind. Love the Iceberg series. Okay, here's what I'm thinking, guys. With Lives, of course, we talked about some news today, and we've had more fun. What I'm thinking is, if we do another Iceberg, we do it together in a live, and we can research as we go. I'd like to keep the channel focused on investigations, crash retrievals, discussing witnesses, and interviews. If you guys like that, and we'll find some time to do some icebergs together, I think that'd be a heck of a lot of fun. Have you done any research on the Horton brothers? I have not, and I'm going to write that down. Thank you. Yes, J. Allen Hynek was absolutely convinced there was something to do this. I love J. Allen Hynek. He's such an interesting person. I've always found the fact that there were like 50 different radar recordings of the object going like 5 times faster than anything humans had in the 60s to be very compelling. Yeah, including Wernher von Braun's mentor, Hermann Osberth, a rocket scientist, talking about upper bounds of UFO speed, flying saucer speed being like 30 to 48,000 miles per hour. Hackology, what's up, man? They are plasma powered. That's how they create clouds. The clouds also camouflage. I've heard that as well. It's sort of like an MHD plasma. I have heard that as well. Some craft are invisible to the naked eye as they affect gravity. Yes, that is one of the 5 observables from Lou Elizondo, low observability. Could you please link to the paper you mentioned? Yeah, sure. Let me throw that in the chat. Estimating flight characteristics of unidentified anomalous. All right, I've referenced this a few times from Kevin Knuth, but there it is in the chat. If you would like to watch. Okay. By the way, I know the people that wrote the post on Amy Eskridge that blew up on Reddit, and they deleted it the next day. Do you know why they deleted it the next day? That is interesting. It would make sense if they utilize some gravity creating tech. Yeah, even Bob Lazar has said that back in the day. Maybe we'll cover him someday. Maybe. Let's see. The Powlick interview was crazy. The implications of them trying to implant people on a massive scale and the tech, what they can do. It is. The Powlick interview is very, very consequential. I would highly recommend watching that, guys. Highly recommend. The Greys live underground, so that would be similar to Phil Schneider's claims. Michael says, no problem. Have a good night. I'm off to work in a little bit. Keep up the support and keep tuning into Gerb's channel. Yeah, guys, Michael works his tail off. I've sometimes talked to him, and it'll be like 9 or 10 at night, and he's still at work. So Michael is very hardworking. Will you start doing live streams going through UFO-related info? Because I've seen some very interesting videos, documents, and links to share with you. Yeah, absolutely. maybe what we could do, just because I'm not the news of the day type guy. I don't really care for like reaction type content. Maybe I know I've talked about this, but I'll actually do it like once a week. We can just kind of round up some news of the day, discuss stuff. Cause just as much as I want to give my opinion, I want to hear your guys' opinion. You guys keep me grounded in my research as well. Of course, just investigating solo can do some crazy things to your mind. So I do really appreciate every single comment you guys have. Nuclear power would merely cover the energy output of the object's luminosity. Beyond that, it has to be a completely different power source. Yes. Richard Dolan's wife is a lot more into the woo side and does remote viewing. They are an interesting pair and complement each other well. Probably keeps them more balanced. I agree. Dolan is fantastic. I bet Davis was never under NDA about that memo. They were just pretending for whatever reason. I think, yeah. And I think it was also Edgar Mitchell now has been shown he was under NDA. Okay. That's exactly how real ETs appear these days, as orbs, lights, meteors, like objects, or just stay in the other dimension because they are targeted with scalar weapons when appearing in 3D. The subject of scalar weapons in golden domes, as Sheehan puts them, to kind of detect cloaked UAP and bring them down is very interesting. I would definitely cover that. Definitely cover that. Do you do these every Sunday? No, but I should. It's been difficult to find the time, but if Sunday's a good time that works for everybody, I would love to. Did your friends end up convincing you to try Path of Exile? No, I haven't been able to play too many games, but what I have been playing is the Black Ops 6 beta. So if anybody wants to play some Black Ops 6 when it comes out, I know that's a very casual take, but reading so much, I need some games to just kind of melt my mind a little bit. So if people want to play Black Ops when it comes out, let's do it. Live Iceberg. Okay, next week we are doing a nice live Iceberg. Okay, guys, I'll find a fresh one. We'll go through it. We'll have some fun. Get a coffee about the, it was post Grush hearing. They pulled it because concern about family members and digging in a little too deep. Yeah. That the digging too deep can definitely be a concern, or possibly violating any sort of OPSEC, operational security, is not fun. How do you find the time to go through all this, do research and then do videos? The research stage is a true gift. I love doing research for stuff. Recording audio is another story, and editing can be a slog, but doing the research time flies by. I could sit for 10 hours a day pouring through documents. How do I find the time to do this? Fortunately, I have a very nice girlfriend that understands that how much this means to me. Unfortunately, her dad is also huge into UFOs, so she doesn't mind when I speak to him about it, or she doesn't mind when he speaks to me about it. But I'd say the biggest thing is efficiency, and that's having a database of documents, which I always try and have. Have you ever seen the custodian file? Yeah, I have. They've been recording UAP calls dragons. Yes, I have. And that's interesting. Again, I don't place too much on footage just because there's so much footage out there and you can debate endlessly. So I just kind of like to move on a little bit from footage. To me, maybe it's good to put in videos, but discussing it can just go around in circles. Palak, yes, watch this on the DPR archive. It was LC who brought this up. Super interesting. He passed before the interview came out. This was in early 2000s, I believe, at like just a middle age too, which is tragic, like 50 or 60. But yeah, so I'd really recommend looking at Palak. I'd also recommend that you check out the study that was going on by the Tedesco brothers and Donna Nardo on Long Island. Speaking of Long Island, I can't wait to cover the 1992 Long Island UFO case near Brookhaven National Labs. So that's an interesting place. Who is my favorite UFO journalist? Leonard Stringfield and Ryan Wood. Easily. Those are the two best. Magic Eyes Only and Crash Retrievals Parts 1 through 7 are absolute works of art. Absolute works of art. Okay. Searching Palak implants puts... So the Google DPI archive, the link system doesn't work. So if you join in the Discord, I'll post one more link. I will post that once I get through these comments. I will post that. So I'll put the Palak video. Thank you, man. God bless you too. I love answering the questions. It's a lot of fun. Okay, everybody likes. Hey, have a good Labor Day too. I don't know how to say your name. I will just call you Attack on Titan Demon. But yeah, Sunday is great. Everybody loves Path of Exile, guys. Don't ruin my life. It's already tough enough to get videos out. Just a tip. It's Europe and 3M. Maybe do it earlier for more views. Good. Yeah, I thank you for that. I appreciate that. I know a couple people were saying they were in the UK and that it was a bit late. Mr. Harry, thank you very much, guys. I'm going to get through these and then we'll call it a night, my friends. Counter-Strike 1.6. My friend, Mr. TW, loves Counter-Strike. Loves Counter-Strike, and he is trying to get me into it. The Horton brothers were a part of Nazi Germany and Project Paperclip, but they were taken by the Russians. Okay, that is interesting. I would like to research that. Leonard Stringfield is unmatched. Yes, Leonard Stringfield is, his work is just beautiful. It is beautiful. I hope one day I can go to his archive in Cincinnati, my hometown, and look into there. It's listed on the EOC channel too. Oh, the Powlik videos on EOC. Cool. The custodian file situation is basically the answer to all this. The team at Skinwalker Ranch kept having dragons fly by and the intense gravitational field would drain their battery. I think I have heard that about draining their batteries. I think I have. Have you ever read Corso's original manuscript for The Day After Roswell? It's pretty dry, but it makes a lot more sense than the released book. The publisher added a bunch of fluff to the book. I have that document downloaded, but I haven't actually read it because I didn't know there was a lot of fluff that was cut out. So is that his specific affidavit? Because I will read that. That sounds awesome. Love from Australia. Hey, thanks, man. As you can tell by the poster, I got a lot of respect for the Aussies. A lot of respect. Almost done with this Eric Mitchell overview. Would prefer to send via Discord DM. I will keep an eye out for the request once we hang up and I'll get all that stuff going. And with that, guys, I think tonight we will call it a night. Everybody who's been here, whether it be 5 minutes or the whole time, we've been on for 2 hours and 10 minutes. Thank you guys so much. It means the most seeing everybody comment it. I love it. I don't know where I'd be without you guys. So we will plan for next Sunday. And right now we are in the research stage of a new video. I got like, I'd say 5 or 6 immediate videos coming out. One of them, if I can get this individual to speak, would be a huge video. Actually three. There's three huge leads I'm chasing down. I'm not going to spoil anything right now, but I really hope I can cover these because they'll be awesome videos. And with that, guys, everybody have a wonderful night and I will catch you all later. Goodbye, my friends. And stream.